much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Stay off the f***ing set, man. For f***ing sake. Right, let's go again. Let's not take a f***ing minute. Let's go again!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You know what? I have to stop you. This has become boring.
Anyway, about time to go dodge those potholes and go home and fight with those earplugs.
You're an idiot.
What are we going to do? We have to change our TVs to something else now. No more 2009. We're supposed to change our TV set.
Hey, shut up.
I'm going to stop this because this isn't working.
Kevin and Bean.
And Anderson?
And now.
I'm gonna kick your ass. You don't shut up for a second, all right?
Our feature presentation.
I missed that Batman audio. I really.
That was
great.
I listened to it yesterday. It was from Terminator.
Terminator, sorry.
And I loved it all over again. I hadn't heard it in a long, long time, and I was just in the mood to hear a little bit more today, so that's why I put it in there. But man, that was funny.
That was sweet.
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. And here's the weird thing. Behind the scenes, I've run into three or four people that have been on that set, and they go, he could not be more right. I know he came off.
Really? The guy was such a jerk?
I know he came off as an a-hole, and he had to call and apologize, do the whole apology tour. But the guy he's yelling at just consistently does that. Everyone hates him.
Wow.
And
that's inside dirt right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and there's no possible way that he was out of line talking to that guy.
No kidding.
So...
awesome. Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday. Lisa May, you have anything you need to tell me?
Yes, Bean. So last night,
yes,
I met the woman of your dreams.
Tell me.
Oh. I was at the Geffen to see this show called Chad Deity, which is a play about wrestlers. Wrestlers in a ring wrestling,
mm-hmm.
throwing each other down. And who is in the front of the theater screaming, kill him? Betty White.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's
you could
Betty
barely
White?
See the top of her head, but she was there.
What's Betty White doing at a wrestling play?
She loves blood sport.
I think it's the exact same thing she's doing every time she shows up was, hey, wouldn't it be weird slash funny if an old woman was in the middle of this situation?
Well, but this wasn't for a TV show
no.
or cameras or anything. This
was
just
was
her out for the evening.
In a theater, yeah.
I don't know.
And, but the funny thing is I tried desperately to take her picture so I could text it to me, but I didn't want her to know.
Why?
And you, I don't.
She's used to.
She's not going to be rude.
No,
she
but
was
she's
talking
used to
a couple of people huh. and, you know.
Plus, she'll be dead soon. How long can she be mad
right.
at you, right?
So we tried to do the thing where, okay, we'll stand here and you take our picture, but really take her picture.
Oh, so you wanted to be in it, too.
No, not really.
Okay.
I just didn't want her to know. So
okay.
that was our ploy.
And how'd that work out?
Well, that didn't work because people that were talking to her kept moving and blocking her, which
oh.
isn't hard to do because she's like 4 foot nothing. You
they
know?
Knew.
I know. That's, I would wreck her.
I think her friends knew. Stop it. You would wreck her.
I
so
would.
I walk around with my camera. I'm so surreptitious, you know, and the flash just goes boom.
Sweet.
I forgot the flash was on and I took
oh.
it upside down so I didn't bother sending
oh.
it to Bean after
wait,
all that.
You can flip it around. What do you mean you took it upside down?
I used my old camera.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing, so if I'd sent it to him, it would have been upside down. It was bad and there was somebody's shoulder in the way and so I just sent him, you know, a message, and then he sent back the grossest.
How dare you? That wasn't gross.
That
was an accurate description of what that information
did
to me. His
excitement. And I
that
can't actually even say it on the air.
Yeah,
I
hear you.
Me.
Is the moral of the story, don't text me? Is that
yes,
what we've learned
is.
Here?
Ugly surprise.
There's a reason why none of us do.
I'm very jealous. I would have wrecked her. I really would have.
How, but how hard is that, Bean?
Well, not very.
You kiss her on the neck and wreck her.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't think I'd want to be the guy who killed Betty White by having sex with her.
What?
I don't think I would want that to be my legacy.
I want that to be my legacy about any woman, anywhere, anytime.
Really?
You killed her. That's how you want to go out.
Killed her. Then you go, yes, I did. Yes, I did. That was me.
All right, real quick, this is an awesome, awesome story out of San Francisco, the most liberal city in the United States. Pretty much anything goes in San Francisco. For many years, it's been the beacon of free expression
mm-hmm.
in San Francisco. But now there's a supervisor named Scott Weiner who
love
has
it.
Introduced legislation. And tell me how outrageous this is that the man is coming down on the people who just want to enjoy themselves, Kevin.
Okay.
He has introduced legislation that would require nudists, who, by the way, completely legal in San Francisco, walk around naked all you want, as long as you're not aroused. You can be naked anywhere in San Francisco.
Can you be semi? I mean, how do they judge that?
I would love to know if they have a little guy who comes out there and he has some sort of a chart that he has to compare what you've got to see if you're aroused or not. Anyway, this legislation, Lisa, would require nudists to put something under their butts when they take a seat in public or at a restaurant.
Well, I think that is good excellent.
I'm good with that.
His immediate concern, the article says, is for public health and sanitation, not about the appropriateness or inappropriateness of public nudity. He says he wants people to show some basic courtesy and decency toward their fellow citizens when they're naked. So in other words, you walk into a restaurant, including nice ones, and a dude is sitting there completely naked. All he's saying is, hey, how about a towel? You know, how about a little something underneath?
I agree. You walk your dog, you got to bring a little baggie. That's the rules.
They had that issue in Lake Havasu because women were wearing those thong bottoms, and there were restaurants where they finally had to start putting towels down.
Wow.
So when they sat down, it wasn't just bare butt.
I don't think that's too much to ask. I sit there, I walk into a nice restaurant, and I see a guy that's, you know, is naked. He's probably been naked all day. Who knows?
Right.
Working on a construction site or whatever. That's a nasty, nasty chair. Right?
Eric Anderson, interviewed in the article, who is a nudist, says the neighborhood is just as much his as anyone else's. And those who have a problem, Kevin, seeing people in the buff need to take a closer look at their own body image issues.
Right.
To force their conservative views on me isn't fair, he said.
He's fighting a different argument. I don't know what argument he's fighting, but I'm fine with him being naked.
I'm not fine with people being naked in public.
I am against the remnants of naked guy sitting in a chair before I sit in the chair. That's what I'm afraid of. What he leaves behind is what I'm afraid of.
Yes.
Who knew that you could walk around naked in San Francisco, by the way?
I don't need a chair with skid marks. Am I making this clear?
Yes. I think we understand.
You can walk around completely naked?
Yes.
Guys, girls?
Do people do that?
Yes. The article talks about a bunch of guys that hang out in the Castro all the time naked.
Huh.
Ooh, in the Castro, is that the gay area?
It has some homosexuals living there. That's what you're asking?
Well, because my point was that they're probably better looking. My problem with nudists is that they're always the people who should be wearing clothes.
Right.
And people who I would love to see nude are always wearing clothes.
Right.
Right.
But if they're gay guys, then they're automatically better looking than the regular guys.
But skid marks don't care if you're gay or not.
They don't care. I know.
Or good looking or not.
I'm just saying, you know. You know what I'm saying.
I know
Kevin's,
what you're saying.
Kevin's moving. We got it.
I'm moving. Right. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't even. What's the point of that?
Comedy. Dr. Drew will be on the program today.
Okay.
Yeah, that is comedy.
He's funny. Funny man, Dr. Drew. always fascinating, though. Love Dr. Drew. Never get tired of talking to him. And he can talk about anything on the planet in a more intelligent and concise way than I can.
Yeah.
So, of course, that's a long list. We have Greg Proops on the show today.
Host of Survivor, right, Kevin?
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff Probst. Yeah, that's how I said it yesterday. It wasn't
completely accurate.
Completely right. We have J.R. Martinez, who was on Dancing with the Stars. Now, we're not big fans of Dancing with the Stars, as you know, but this is the war hero dude.
Yeah, he's kind of fascinating.
That's what he goes by, war hero dude. So we're going to talk to him today.
Shouldn't they take away his medals for being on Dancing with the Stars? Shouldn't they say this eclipses whatever service you gave to our country?
We'll have to ask him that.
Okay.
We'll have to ask him that, because that is a valid concern. The day you go on Dancing with the Stars, every medal you've ever gotten for being in the military is taken away.
I would think so, because now he clearly hates America.
Why don't you ask him that when we talk to him in a little bit?
Maybe I will.
We also have Rich Eisen.
Yeah.
Right.
And the reason we have Rich Eisen is because today is the day everyone feared, and by everyone I mean sports fans, everyone feared would never come, and that is the beginning of football. This is serious, real. Now it counts. This is the season. We don't have to watch the third and fourth string quarterbacks. They're going to start their starters, and they're going to try and win the game football. So that's exciting. They have a great game tonight. They have, as usual, the big kickoff concert now, you know, kind of like Super Bowl halftime show. But now they've moved it to the beginning of the season, the beginning of the very first game. And it can be good, and it can be very not good. So we got that coming up. But anyway, football starts tonight. And so we're going to talk to the guy from the NFL Network. We have more info on Oscar De La Hoya. and all of his admissions. Boy, he's gone crazy. I don't know what happened to him, but he's admitting to things no one's asking about.
Maybe he's drinking.
Yep. It's bizarre. And we have Sammy coming up in about a half hour, by the way.
Yeah.
From Jersey Shore,
Sammy? Jersey Shore. Sammy, for those of you who don't follow the show, but you've heard maybe a clip or two, she's the one that has been in a relationship on and off with Ronnie, and they speak to each other in a very, very kind and adult way. So that might be how you recognize her. Either that or they scream and throw each other's stuff at all times.
It's passion, Kevin.
And passion's beautiful.
Yes.
So we're going to talk to Sammy from Jersey Shore coming up in about a half hour. We'll take a break and we'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Got some Rage Against the Machine on the way for you. Also, Dirty Heads, Blink 182, Foster the People, so much more on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, we'll talk to your girlfriend Sammy Sweetheart coming up after the top of the hour in a few minutes.
She's
about
the sweetest bitch you'll ever love.
That's what I hear. Yeah. That's what I hear from the Jersey Shore. Right now, they're time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday. What's going on?
Remember Mayim Bialik?
Blossom?
She was TV's Blossom. Okay.
Yes.
She is starting a new career as an advocate for breastfeeding.
Oh, don't get me started.
She wants you to breastfeed.
Yep.
Okay.
Still at this age, you should be at mom's teat.
Regardless of how old you are?
No, actually, she doesn't go that crazy. But she does say that she is still breastfeeding her 3-year-old son, Fred.
That gets a little creepy, doesn't it?
Once Fred can ask for the booby,
yeah,
it starts to get a little weird. Mommy, give me your boobie. Ooh. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people have this tact. You have the La Leche League and other people who believe that breastfeeding should continue as long as the child is interested because of the nutritional and psychological benefits of breastfeeding. Right. She may have a better position on this than others.
Okay.
Because I did not know this. Mayim Bialik, TV's Blossom, has a PhD in neuroscience.
What?
What, Blossom?
Yes.
What?
When she stopped being a child actress, she went to, obviously several schools, and now has a PhD in neuroscience.
Dr. Blossom.
Dr. Blossom. That's so funny. You go into her office, she's wearing a big floppy hat, and her brother comes in. Whoa. It's all very strange, I'm sure, when you visit her.
This is like when we found out that Winnie from the Wonder Years has a doctorate in mathematics or something, right?
She's a mathematician.
Crazy.
I like the Ben & Jerry's.
Me too.
I enjoy the flavors of ice cream that they create.
Seem good.
But they're going off the rails.
Are they?
Yeah.
Mm.
They recently did a Jimmy Fallon flavored. I don't think it's Jimmy Fallon flavored.
No, it doesn't taste like him. No,
I wouldn't know what he tastes like, but I'm assuming it doesn't taste like him. But it is named after his late night talk show.
Right.
Now they've announced another TV-themed flavor. And this has a lengthy past, so bear with me if you will. There was, Alec Baldwin holds the record for most hosting on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
He did a sketch many years ago that featured Molly Shannon and Anna Gasteyer as host of an NPR talk show.
Okay.
They talk like this. Hey, thanks for coming by. Remember that sketch?
Mm-hmm. I do remember that. Yeah.
He played a character, a baker named Pete Schwede. And he came on to talk about all the delicious treats you could make for Christmas, like popcorn balls and donut balls and things, and they were sweaty balls.
Right.
Well, Ben & Jerry has officially announced the launch of their new ice cream, sweaty balls.
Ew. What is going on over there?
Based on that sketch, it is an ice cream flavor which combines malted milk balls, fudge-covered rum balls, in a vanilla ice cream flavored with a hint of rum.
I might have to try that.
You want some sweaty balls?
It does sound good.
I don't want
sweaty
balls.
You like sweaty balls, Kevin?
I'm not a fan of that.
You want sweaty balls.
I don't like the name.
You would like to have sweaty balls in your mouth.
I would like
You'd like to buy a carton of sweaty balls and just feed yourself sweaty balls all day.
I'd like to taste the ice cream and not call it that.
Well, too bad, because when you go into the store, that's what you'll be asking for. Hey, do you have that sweaty ball flavor ice cream?
Can I help you, sir?
No.
No,
I'll find it. I'll find it.
Now, I don't get, I mean, I get this for the publicity of today after the announcement is made. I don't get this for the long-term health of that product. When people go into the store, the vast majority of whom don't watch Saturday Night Live, and even more who don't remember the sketch.
Ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
How is that going to translate when people just see it out of context in their freezer?
I have no idea.
I don't think it's a long-term plan. I think they just hit these little quick ones and move on.
I guarantee they won't be selling that ice cream in Utah.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll boycott the crap out of that. No watching the Playboy Club and no eating sweaty balls. Not in this state, sir. We will not stand for it. Miley Cyrus says that she's glad her Hannah Montana days are behind her.
That
was terrible how she had to start off when she was a child with a TV show.
Millions of dollars. I know. Yeah. I feel bad for her. She says she misses the family vibe of the show, having everyone around, but the routine of doing the same thing day after day just really got old for her.
Hmm. It's called a job, Miley, right?
That's what it's called. And it's better than most jobs where you go and do the same thing day after day, because at least you get a new script every week, and so there's something else going on.
You get paid better than most. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of positives.
She says she is discouraging her 11-year-old sister, Noah. I wonder if this means brother here. Yeah, maybe this is a typo
in
this story.
That's weird.
For entering show business because she thinks it would be better if Noah waited a few years before going out on auditions. We wish Miley had waited a few more years before going out on auditions, quite frankly. So.
I thought it was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Speaking of Saturday Night Live. And Evan Rachel Wood. Evan Rachel Wood. You know, we announced it was her birthday yesterday.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So she decided to party.
Like it was her birthday?
Like it was her birthday.
All right.
She was probably drinking, what would she be drinking? What do you think?
Maybe, I don't know, Bacardi?
Yeah, like it's her birthday. So she goes out. She's in Paris, France. She goes out to hit a few clubs with some friends, cocktails, dancing, out there on the floor, shaking what the Lord gave her. And someone else who's dancing on the floor wheels around and elbows her right in the face.
What?
Well, happy birthday, Rachel Wood. You now have a big fat lip and one less tooth.
Oh, no.
Dude knocked the tooth out of her mouth dancing.
That's bad form. Nobody needs to see that guy dance that ridiculously active. Come on. You know, he's like swinging around, thinks he's all that. He's swinging around everything.
Do you think about the order of the words you choose, or is it just random?
What did I say?
No one seems to see that dude dance so ridiculously active.
Ridiculously active.
That doesn't make sense.
Please try to formulate ideas clearly before you vocalize them.
All right, sorry.
Maybe time for that worst birthday call-in we do every once in a while.
Oh, that's good.
Worst birthdays you've ever had.
Getting
a tooth knocked out on the dance floor, I think, has to rank.
I saw an article just today leading up to this weekend's solemn 10-year commemoration of September 11th, where they interviewed a bunch of people whose birthdays...
Wait, this is the 10-year anniversary of it?
I know. Why hasn't anyone said anything? But it was a whole article, Ralph, about people whose birthday is September 11th. And they talk about what they were doing that day and what they were hoping to do that day. Yeah. You know, people who had plans to go out and whatnot. And
every year, that's got to be a bad birthday. That wheels around. No one's in a festive mood, really, to go out there and do shots with you.
Yeah, and they talk about how it's so weird. It has become, you know, they're used to it now, but to see their birthday in the news almost every day, one way or another, and always be referred to negatively.
While we're talking about birthdays today, celebrity birthdays, Amy Mann is 51 years old today. David Arquette celebrates his 40th birthday. Henry Thomas, little kid from E.T. Remember E.T.'s little friend?
Oh, sure.
Elliot?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
40 years old today. Little Elliot's 40. Just announced, by the way, he's joining the cast of The Mentalist. Henry Thomas is.
Is that right?
You guys watch The Mentalist?
I do watch The
Mentalist. Boy, that's a good show.
And I love it.
Yeah. He was going to play a bounty hunter on that show, so his acting career is still going strong. Lorenz Tate. He is an actor. He is 36 years old. Pink celebrates her 32nd birthday today.
Belle? No Belle.
I think
definitely sexy.
Very sexy, but in an odd sort of mannish way. In a tomboyish kind of way.
I'd go Belle, but I can understand your reluctance.
I think if we do Belle, we're going to get complaints.
Yeah, I know, but if we don't, we're going to get complaints.
That's
so
true.
What are you going to do?
Can you give her half a Belle, me?
A tepid Belle.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, here we go. And Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement. He's 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Are you ready for some football? The Monday Night Dream Team.
They don't use Hank anymore, I guess. I guess they switched over to Faith Hill the last couple of years, right?
That's an upgrade.
But football returns tonight on your TV with the New Orleans Saints versus the world champion Green Bay Packers. We're going to be talking to Rich Eisen coming up later on today from the NFL Network, all about the coverage that they have planned. Thank God it's finally here. And by the way, Kevin, I've heard very little out of you, and maybe it's because the preseason was so wacky this year, but I haven't heard much bragging out of your camp about your beloved Arizona Cardinals.
You haven't heard me bragging about them in the last
Four years.
5 years.
Are you at all excited?
Yeah, I mean, of course I'm excited, but I mean, got a new quarterback.
And but you're being hopeful as all.
Got a bad running back. Yeah, I mean, you hope things work out the way you want it to, but Ralph, who knows?
I will tell you, the bragging rights in this room is always Ralph Garvin, because the Eagles are so far superior to any of the teams that the rest of us root for. I mean, I'll be happy if the Seahawks are 8-8 this year.
Tonight they have the concert, of course, to kick off the season. They got Kid Rock and they have Lady Antebellum, which that says football to me. And Maroon 5. So they got all that going tonight along with
Oh, that's pretty manly right there. Yep. Anyway, so glad football is finally here. Our friend Rich Eisen next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, how about Jersey Shore, Italy? The season continues tonight on MTV at 10 o'clock. Sammy Sweetheart joins us on the Kevin Bean Show. Sammy, how are you, my dear?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We are good.
Thank God you're on the show, so I have something to look at on my TV when Snooki's on the other part of the screen.
Oh, God. Oh, goodness.
And I mean that as a compliment. How's it going?
To you.
How are you?
A compliment to you.
Compliment to you,
great.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing?
Yes.
Well, we're fine, but I mean, as a nation, we're exhausted watching you and Ronnie. I got to just come out and say we can't take it anymore, Sammy. You must stop. You either have to be together and accept the way you are, or you have to break up and never speak to each other again, because you're killing us as a nation. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You're destroying America with all this bickering.
It's like you guys only see an hour of a week of what goes on in Italy, and you're missing so much. Like, I was there for a month and a half, and right. I was being filmed 24/7, so you're seeing, like, the raw.
Okay.
You know, good stuff. Like, if I fought 5 days out of that whole month, that's what you've seen so far.
But
you know what I mean?
But here's the thing with me. I don't want to have one of those a month. I'm saying, like, throwing stuff out and the whole thing.
Everybody has drunken moments. Everybody.
Of course.
Says, yours just isn't on, you know, national TV. Mine is. And I choose to live that life. And honestly, you're going to see a different side towards now. You're not going to see any more fighting. The drama's really going to go on some other people in the house
and
their relationships. And you're going to see some similarities. So I feel like a lot of people go through this stuff.
Yeah, they do. But, I mean, look, we've all been in relationships that were toxic, and we could see it so clearly after we got out of the relationship. When we're in it, we think, oh, my God, I love this person so much. I have to be with this person. And then afterwards, you go, I was just being crazy because there were so many things wrong with that relationship. I mean, you have to vacillate. You know what that word means, right, Sammy?
I know.
I don't.
Okay. You have to vacillate back and forth. In your relationship with Ronnie, as long as it's been going on, you must sometimes go, this is a huge mistake. I can't do this anymore. And then other times think you can make it work, right? I mean, it seems like a constant struggle for you guys.
I don't think anybody really realizes what we go through. Being in that house, being in a relationship, and doing what we do, I don't think anybody really understands. And to be honest, me and Ron have a wonderful connection. We have a wonderful relationship. But it is a TV show, and you are seeing the goods. And to be honest, a happy, boring relationship does not make TV.
All right. When did you stop taping this season in Italy?
We went straight from Italy to Seaside.
Oh, you did? And started filming again?
No, we're done filming
now.
But literally, we went straight from Italy to Seaside and filmed there.
Are you together with Ronnie now?
Yeah, as of today.
Yes!
As of today.
They're together as of today, people.
I love that. This hour.
Can we check back in an hour?
You could.
All right.
All right, let me play a couple of clips from this season of The Jersey Shore on MTV. Another new episode tonight at 10. We're talking to Sammy from the show. This first clip, this is a perfect example for people who don't watch the show, because these two clips are going to sum up everything you need to know about Sammy and Ronnie on Jersey Shore. The first clip is When It's Going Great. Listen up.
I'm, like, completely head over heels in love with Ron, just by the way he's just changed.
Thank you so much.
Oh, the lovebirds.
I get
really like you these days.
Because I'm hungry.
Do you want me to wear one of your dresses or no?
Wear whatever you want.
Okay, right. Happiest couple of the world. Now let's fast forward about 1 hour from that moment. In the same night, here they are at a nightclub. Listen to what happened.
I guess Sam thought she was trying to dance with me. Sam gets mad.
I'm the type of person where, like, if something's bothering me, I can't just seem to let it go. I have to try and fix it at the time, especially when I'm drunk.
Okay, so, I'm like, it bothers me.
You see me go like this on a table?
I had a blonde girl before that.
She got mad at me tonight for some bull. And at this point, I was like, I can't deal with this anymore.
Love it.
And that, of course, is what led to the huge fight between Ronnie and the situation. What'd you think about that when that went down there in the Italian Via, Sammy?
Of course, that fight was really, really scary. But truthfully, Mike knocked himself out. And that, I think, was the most scary part for me, because he, you know, literally I thought we had a concussion or something. I had to go to the hospital. So that was actually really frightening.
And Ronnie was gonna beat him up, and then the situation ran himself headfirst into a wall. Yeah. Please tell me that since the moment that you knew he was going to be okay, you've done nothing but laugh at the situation for running headfirst into a wall.
It's just like, what the heck were you thinking?
Right. I would be on my deathbed and I would call him and I would go, hey, remember that time you ran into the wall head first? Do you guys find it funny?
Now it's funny. Now we know he's all right.
Now that he's all right. Okay.
Right. Yeah. All right. Sammy, in our remaining moments here, so you went from Italy to Seaside because MTV wants to, you know, film as much Jersey Shore as they can because, frankly, it's the hottest show on television. But now you're done. There's no more Jersey Shore with you guys as the cast. I mean, you are finished, right?
I have no idea. I mean, we never know what's going on. We don't know if there's going to be another season or anything, but I would love to continue to do it.
Really? Why do you like it? Besides, obviously, you get a lot of money for doing the show. Isn't it an enormous pain in the ass to have those cameras around you all the time?
By now, I'm actually used to it. And I like doing it. It's fun. You know, who wouldn't want to, like, party and, you know, have a good time, meet people, and, you know, just enjoy yourselves your work.
Let me ask you this. On that show, obviously, everything is turned up to 11 because of the cameras, because of, you know, it's going to show on MTV, because everybody's drinking more. What percentage would you say your real life is different than the Jersey Shore life? Because I hope it's a lot. I hope it's, like, 80% different.
I'm from the Jersey Shore, and in the summertime, like, I have, before the show, I have gotten a house, I have partied, I have done the same exact thing.
Right, okay.
So, you know, just in the winter, you know, it's kind of cooled off a little bit, but in the summer, yeah, a lot of people do that over here.
Summer, it's like that. All right.
Yeah. What do you think you're going to do whenever it is that Jersey Shore ends? What do you think the rest of your life is going to be like, Sammy?
I have no idea. I want to be a business entrepreneur and just do what I love, you know, as long as I'm happy and successful and doing what I love, that's all that matters.
I'm sorry, Sammy, hang on a second. What does she want to be, Bean?
You know I can't say that word.
I know. What does she want to be? She just said
a business entrepreneur.
Yes, all right. Just wanted to get you to say it again.
Yes, I have a lot of trouble with that particular word, Sammy. He's trying to embarrass me. Well, I'm just happy to have hot chicks on my TV. Jersey Shore airs Thursday nights at 10 on MTV. I'm glad we got a chance to talk to you. I'm glad you and Ronnie are together. I hope you've managed to settle the issues and work it out, and you have a very happy, peaceful, tranquil life together.
Thank you.
Or at least all the right, next hour.
I was unfamiliar with J.R. Martinez, even though I guess he's a very popular actor on All My Children, until he was announced for Dancing with the Stars. But we're going to be talking to him coming up next year. An American war hero, don't you know? He'll be on the Kevin and Bean Show in about 15 minutes or so. Right now, though, how about the Kevin and Bean Afro Line on the air for you at 323-520-AFRO. People call us with all kinds of crazy messages. What are they talking about today?
Well, you remember when one of them called us and said that they saw the Family Guy episode where Weenie and the Butt were?
Right.
Featured.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And said that he thought that was based entirely on us.
Right.
And we did have to admit, if it wasn't based entirely on us, we are in the pool of people that it is making fun of. Right. Kind of hurt our feelings a little bit.
Weenie and the Butt here live at the Quahog Air Show. We're all ready for the Weenie Sound-alike contest.
I don't know, Butt. I don't think they can say my catchphrase because they no funny.
Oh, there it is.
Hi, Weenie and the Butt. Here it goes. He no funny. Did I win, guys?
I'm sorry you have to come down to the Quahog Air Show to see us.
As you heard 10 minutes ago, Bean has trouble with certain words. I guess we all do, really.
Mm-hmm.
Certain words.
I've gotten a lot better on entrepreneur than I used to be. I used to not be able to say it at all.
He used to have to try it 5-6 times and then still fail. Now he can at least get it out. The other word, I believe, was yesterday or the day before.
Hey, Bean, so the rest of us can laugh a little bit. Can you try to say excavator again? Excavator. Give it a shot.
Dumbass. Excavator? Did I do that one wrong, too?
Yeah. Well, you had trouble with it, yeah.
Yeah.
We did a story. Ralph did a story in the showbiz about Mark Wahlberg and his brothers opening up a Wahlburgers. See? Because that's their name.
Uh-huh. Restaurant, right.
Wahlburgers, that's awesome. But did you hear about Bean's place up in Seattle, his burger joint? Asperger's. Okay, bye.
I'm not sure. Look, Asperger's is a technical term. I'm not sure I would go eat at a place that had ass.
No, I wouldn't either.
We were watching a TV commercial, and I was mocking it, and Ralph started jumping for joy. He was so happy about the eggy. So we had this conversation about how much Ralph loved the eggies.
When it comes to eggs, hard-boiled means hard work.
messy shells, broken whites, and you'll be peeling all night.
So this is like
that. Oh, the Aggies! Oh, you.
Sorry, hey. Sweet. I ordered my Eggies based on that conversation that day on the Kevin and Bean Show. They haven't arrived yet.
I really?
Where are my Eggies?
I didn't order it until this guy.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. I just peeled a hard-boiled egg in 18 seconds. And boy, am I tired.
It is exhausting. See, you wouldn't even have to do that if you had the Eggie.
I told the embarrassing story that I threw away some Chinese food outside and then wanted some more, so then I went and got it.
You know what's in there? God, your Kevin is in my trash again.
Come on now.
Kevin is the show's raccoon. We figured that out.
I don't go to other people's. Come on now.
What's the difference? Why not?
Outdoor Ladies, trash is outdoor trash. Late.
I'm sorry. What were you saying, Bean?
I was saying, why not? Outdoor trash is outdoor trash. Their can's as clean as yours.
No, because I know what's in my can.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't sound right at all.
I didn't want it to sound that way, no.
Ladies, day after Labor Day, no more white pants unless you take it in the...
That's the rule.
And by the way, that again.
Well, I think that's a year-round rule. I don't know what the fashion rule is about white shoes or white pants. Or what. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But I think we did discover a while back that white pants is a signal.
Yes, it is.
And the signal is that you can enter through the front door. The back door is also available. So we talked about that. We also had the Darth Vader controversy and George Lucas is raping our childhood as he changes the movies and then puts them out on Blu-ray. And there was the scene with Darth Vader and Emperor, what's his name?
Emperor Palpatine, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He's killing Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader's son. So Darth, at that moment, has to decide whether he's going to go back to his Jedi roots and save his boy or if he's going to continue following the Emperor onto the dark side.
Right. And in the original, you know, he didn't say anything. He was just looking back and forth. But George Lucas didn't think we got that, so he added a couple of no's, and that's what this is called.
Darth Vader, you must kill your son.
That's well funny, done. Right?
Well done.
So I'm on Facebook, and of course, the Kevin and Bean Show pops up and says, what are you doing? Why not call the Afro Line and try and make us laugh? Yeah, you, Afro Line. You're supposed to be doing your own job and making me laugh. Word.
Good point.
That is circular logic, but I'm confused by it.
Then the guy called back.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm bringing back Word. Word.
Good for you.
And then a complaint.
Just stop it. Seriously, the vagina is so itchy song. It's not funny. It's not even original.
All right.
You stole it from the rainbow people.
All right.
Stop. And I know you're going to, oh, no, I know Kevin is just waiting to press that freaking button. So after I'm done, he can be like, oh, you mean this song? No, stop it. Stop it right now. Mean it.
My vagina's so itchy.
Come on,
you mean this song?
So itchy.
Wait, this is the one?
So freaking itchy.
We're supposed to play this more? Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Rich Eisen from the NFL Network coming up later on. He'll be on next hour talking about the kickoff of the NFL season tonight. Also, Greg Proops, very funny comedian, is going to be joining us, an improver. Also, the worst songs of the 90s next hour, too. We're going to need your help for that. First, though, Dancing with the Stars returns on September the 19th. One of the names is J.R. Martinez. He is going to be dancing. Here's a little of his story about his time in Iraq wearing the uniform of the United States Army.
Get into Iraq in March of 2003. It was scary. We got a mission that we had to go secure an airfield. We were driving, and all of a sudden, boom. My front left tire ran over a landmine. I was trapped inside the truck. And from the actual explosion, it detonated everything we had inside the vehicle. And I was completely conscious. A lot went through my mind. My life is going to end, and every dream that I had is never going to get the opportunity to actually go after it. What really kind of pulled me through was just the vision of them giving my mother a flag at the funeral and just thinking to myself, that can't happen.
That Dude, pulled him through and being on Dancing with the Stars.
Well, knowing that one day he could dance with Chaz Bono. Right, of course, that's what pulled him through. J.R. Martinez, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Great. First of all, and I know you probably hear this all the time, thank you for your service. I want to get that out of the way first. Unbelievable American hero and the work you did in Iraq, and thank you so much for that, and thank God you recovered from it. I can't imagine the mental aspect of recovering from burns as horrific as yours and undergoing 33 surgeries. That just, it must have seemed endless for you.
Well, first of all, thank you guys for saying that. You know, and you know, yeah, I mean, Burns is, you know, I've got a lot of buddies that, you know, unfortunately were injured in Iraq and Afghanistan, and as we all sat around at times, you know, and just to kind of talk and reminisce and all these other things, you know, we talk about our injuries, and it's kind of come to a conclusion that Burns is one of the, if not the, one of the most difficult injuries to recover from, because yeah. Not only do you have the risk of infection, but then you have your body may not take a graft in a certain way or certain surgery in a certain way. You have to wait a certain amount of time before cosmetic surgery can be done. I mean, it really is difficult to recover from. And then,
not to mention the pain.
Thing. What's that?
I said not to mention the pain.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the pain is unbearable. And, you know, it's amazing how the body works. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, to see my body and to learn how it was recovering on its own and the things that, you know, maybe medically that they would do to help that. I mean, it's just amazing what the body does. I mean, so it was a lot of pain to try to withstand, but, you know, at the end of the day, you just kind of, you know, you keep taking one day at a time. That's all you really can do when you're in that position.
Let me ask you this question. When you get over to Iraq and they tell you you're going to be a driver, I mean, really, you must think, why do you hate me? Because you've seen so much about the IEDs.
Right. It's but I got over to Iraq, and I was 19 years old. I was a private. I was brand new into the Army, so it was kind of me paying my dues and doing, you know, the extra work that needed to be done that the rest of the guys didn't have to do.
Right.
And I was fine with it. I was like, it is what it is. And so we actually kind of rotated, me and another guy in our vehicle, we rotated driving. And it just so happened that we stopped on April 5th of 2003. We stopped in Karbala, and they told me that I was going to have to be the one that was going to have to drive from this point on. And, you know, I'd been in Iraq. We had only been in Iraq for 3 weeks. And I thought to myself, it's no big deal. You know, okay, let me start driving again. And it was interesting because, you know, before I left for Iraq, I told my mother, I said, don't worry about me. I said, you know, they can't stop me. I'm going to come back. I'm going to be fine. But in the back of my mind, I was never afraid of being potentially being shot. I wasn't, you know, any kind of injury. The one thing that feared me and the one thing only that I was afraid of was a landmine.
Oh.
Because you don't know where they are.
Yep.
You have no idea where they are. And that really thrilled, I mean, it blew my mind. I mean, and that was the one thing that really I thought about day in and day out. And what do you know? It got me.
Well, thank God for you, because wussies like me go, IEDs? Nope. And if it wasn't for you, we'd have big problems.
Hey, Kevin won't even go to Roscoe's Fried Chicken and Waffles after dark, okay? He's not the guy that's headed to Iraq. J.R. Martinez is on the phone. We're going to get to Dancing with the Stars in just 1 second and talk about what that experience has been like for him as he's already prepared for the debut of the show. But I have to ask a couple more Army questions. First of all of this surgery that you had to have done, is that all done by Army doctors, or do they discharge you and then you get it done on the civilian side?
Well, there's two ways of having this done, and I did it what I feel is the best way. What happens is, I'm sure you guys can understand this, is that, you know, when guys come home and they're injured, they have the mentality right away, they just want to get out of the military, and they want to move on with their life, and they want to get back home, and they just want to live, and they want to do all these things.
Right.
Especially if they're not going to be able to go back and do the job the way they did them before in the Army or in the military. So what happens is, a lot of times these guys just sign paperwork and just get out and go home. The problem with that is that when they do that, now, you know, 6 months later, they're trying to get a hold of, you know, the doctors in the Army to do a procedure. But now they're part of the VA system, and now they're competing with veterans of past wars to try to get a slot in, which is difficult.
That seems, be frustrating.
Yeah, what I did was, when they were asking me, you know, the Army came to me and said, you're ready to sign this paper to get out? And I said, no, I'm not going anywhere. And I put my foot down, and I was strong, because I knew that if I stayed in the Army as an active duty soldier, the priority that would be given to me,
interesting,
to the doctor and have these surgeries done, would be right away. I mean, it would be over the top of priority.
Very smart.
I stayed in. I forced myself to stay in. I said, you know, you guys are going to get me out. I'm not signing any paperwork until I feel comfortable enough to leave the Army, because this is what I felt I was entitled to.
Good for you.
All I'm asking for you guys to put me together, that's the least I want you guys to do. And I just stayed strong. And that's the biggest message that I pass on. Because, you know, I still visit with a lot of, you know, soldiers who come home, you know, recently injured from Iraq and Afghanistan. That's the biggest thing I tell them. I say, man, you just got to stay strong and got to stay solid. Don't let anybody rush you into getting out and making you feel like, oh, you know what, time is up. No,
I can see signing a bunch of paperwork that you're not quite sure what it all says, but, you know, it ends your time in the Army and you move, and right. you do move on. I can see that.
So, JR, what did you do then? Now you're still a 19 or 20-year-old guy at this point by the time the surgery's done, or maybe 21, but you've been planning, you know, your whole career up to this point to make a go of the military. Now you can't. Then you have to start looking around for another career. Is that how you ended up in acting?
I mean, it's funny because, you know, I was 19 years old and I didn't know what the hell I was going to be doing with my life. I had no clue. I was already thinking and worrying about how I was going to reintegrate into society.
Yeah, of course.
And walks amongst people down the street. I mean, there was no way. I mean, and for me, I was afraid of that task. So I had to kind of come to terms with who I was and what I was and be comfortable with that. And then from that point on, it was like, okay, now what am I going to do with my life? And it all just kind of, it's like the bricks were laid out in front of me for me to step onto that led me to where I am today. And literally what happened was one day I was asked to visit a patient who was recently injured in Iraq. And when I visited him, I realized that I was able to have a positive impact on him. So every day in between my own appointments of recovery, I was visiting patients on a burn ward. Then what happened is, of course, I started doing media. Then I got involved with a couple of nonprofits and helping them kind of spread the message and what vets need when they come home and the kind of support system that they need when they come home. And then from then, man, it just people started reaching out to me and saying, we want you to come do motivational speaking and speak to our group or whatever it is, 5 people or 5,000 people. And I just kind of said, okay, you know what, I'm going to do it. And from that point on, I was doing motivational speaking. And then in 2008, all my children said that they wanted to find a veteran to portray a character on the show that would be coming home from Iraq and tell that whole story to that audience. And I just said, you know what? Let me try out for it. Let me audition for it, see what's the worst that can happen. And who would have thought that when they hired me in 2008 and told me that it was going to be a three-month role, that it would have lasted 3 years?
Unbelievable.
That's crazy. If you clone me 9 times, you're still better than all 10 of me.
I know you have to go. I'm so sad that we've run out of time. We have so many more questions, but you have an incredible story, and everything you've done up until this point and all the pain you've survived has gotten you to the point where you can now dance against Rob Kardashian on a TV show. And I just want to say that's makes America great, my friend.
That's the goal.
Dancing with the Stars starts again on September the 19th at 8 on ABC. JR, I hope we get a chance to talk to you again in the season, man. Thanks so much for being on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, man. Rolling Stone magazine has come out with a fascinating list of the 10 worst songs of the 1990s.
Wow. That's a category.
That's a lot. That's a tough category, yeah.
And if there's not at least 2 Celine Dion songs on that list, I'm going to write a strongly worded letter.
How dare you.
We will discuss and hear some of those songs and ask for your votes for the worst song of the 1990s. Coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Yeah.
What?
All right.
There is superstitions.
That's the wrong bed. That's why.
Okay, I was confused for a second.
Writing on the wall. Today, my doll, baby.
Wonder how long it's going to take. It's a new machine. I don't know.
Did Beer Mug leave the room just when you needed him
what
most?
Do you think?
Yeah, of course he did.
Of course he did.
He's the inaction figure.
All right. Well, let's have Ralph start with the Showbiz Beat, and then if and when you can get his music up, we can just join it already in progress.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do before that. I'm going to give away some passes to the super duper special advanced screening of a movie that we around here like to call Drive.
Yay!
This movie looks good.
Sure
Hollywood
does.
Stuntman who is moonlighting as a heist driver, as a getaway car driver, goes underground when he finds out a contract's been put out on him because a theft has gone wrong and they want to take him out of the equation. Looks pretty cool. Ryan Gosling stars Carey Mulligan, Bryan Cranston, Ron Perlman, Christina Hendricks, Albert Brooks. Oh, come on, with a cast like that, how can you go wrong? If it wasn't for that pesky font, we'd all be very, very happy about
the
this
font
movie.
The
font is pesky.
How can it bug you that much?
Because every time I see it, it's like, ooh, pink 80s lettering. That's weird. That's disturbing. That distracts me.
All right.
That pulls me right out of the Drive mode.
Maybe you should just let that go.
So I'm just saying it's a little fruity for a Drive movie. That's now, all. It's a little flimsy.
It is bright pink.
It's pink
and cursive.
It does
look like the puffy paint that girls used to wear on their homemade T-shirts in the 80s, does it, Ralph?
It looks like the lettering that would be outside a store in a mall that sold leggings in the 80s.
It might be best if you just let it go.
I can't. Okay. It's right there in my face every time I look at the poster.
Looks great.
Drive. Anyway, looks great. If you'd like to go to the advanced screening, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First two callers to get through get a pair of passes. The screening, by the way, is Thursday, September the 15th. So don't call if you can't go. Theaters everywhere will be featuring Drive on Friday, September the 16th. So you got that going for you. If you don't win, you can still go see Drive, and I recommend that you do highly. Although I'm thinking of starting a personal boycott against that Bucky Larson movie.
Why?
We like that Nick Swardson.
Because that jackhole they got in the commercials, the TV commercials. Oh, I don't know who that a-hole is, but I don't like him, and I don't like him yelling at me anymore.
You gotta see Drive! You gotta love it, because I hypnotize you! Shut up! Whoever that guy is, shut up! Get off my television.
Grandma's boy, I think.
I don't like him.
All right.
Also, I want to give you a heads up. If you are one of the very kind folks, one of our listeners who comes to see Hollywood Babylon, if you'd like to come this week, little change in the schedule.
No.
You're unbelievable.
Are you kidding?
It is tomorrow night at 10 o'clock as opposed to the usual slot of Saturday night at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow night, Friday night, 10 p.m. at the John Lovitz
All right.
podcast.
Isn't it on Fridays more than it's on Saturdays?
No, sir, it is not.
It's on Fridays every Friday.
No, it
Starting
is not.
Now,
no.
Into the future,
this one
every
week,
Friday.
This one week, what? Friday night, 10 p.m. at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater, me and Kevin Smith doing Hollywood Babylon. You can go to Babylon Ralph or BabylonKev.com. For more details and to buy tickets, but this week it's Friday.
It's Friday and Saturday.
No,
so you're doing two.
It is just
it's the
Friday,
regular night and Saturday.
Friday. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. I just wanted to clear right. that up because there was some confusion. Because
thank God Ralph doesn't run a television network. Can you imagine if you tuned in every week and Breaking
listen,
Bad was on a different day at a different
listen,
time?
Listen, listen. Mr. Smith has a challenging schedule.
Yes, he does.
For those of us who work with him, so we do our best to accommodate. Everyone involved. So it is tomorrow night.
It was like Ralph was involved
Wednesday's
with Friday Night Lights.
That's what it was. That's right. We keep changing the date and the time and the cast.
You get half of it from a guy in a van.
Very confusing. Oh, remain calm. All is well. Jessica Simpson has announced this week that she has no plans to get a breast reduction.
Oh, thank God.
Woo! No plans to minimize the girls. She tweeted this week, I love my boobies. They're not going anywhere.
So do we.
So do we.
And that's really your only...
That's all you got.
Your only
Hold
positive.
On to it, sweetheart. Just work that. Work
Giant it. Size cans.
Work that as long as you can. And apparently, despite the tabloid rumors, no reductions in the size of her tremendous fun bags.
Nice melons.
So, see, people say I only bring bad news. I got
that's
good
true.
News, too.
That is good news.
Betty White is an angry whore.
That's the whole story?
Yep.
What?
She admits to Us Weekly magazine that she has a large degree of road rage. She's out there driving. She says, I call people words I didn't even realize I knew.
She's not still driving.
Yes.
Isn't she
90 plus?
Doesn't matter. I don't know how old she is, but she's still out there cursing at people on the highways.
No, Betty, get a driver, please.
She is bad on every level.
She's
the more
awesome.
We find out, see, here's the thing about the renaissance of popularity of Betty White. We are finding out the real person underneath the sickly sweet veneer.
Well, you and I are finding that out.
That facade.
Right.
Deep down inside, she's racist. She's angry. She has road rage.
Racist at all.
She is. She's a horrible, horrible human being. We're finally.
She's not racist. She's not a whore.
Finally,
she's...
the truth about that angry, racist bitch, Betty White, is finally coming to light. And I think, for one, we're all better for it.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
Oh, disgusts me how racist she is.
She shouldn't be driving, though. We all agree on that,
yeah.
right?
No
Turns
question.
Out suicide is good for reality television.
Oh, no.
Ratings for the second season debut of Bravo's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. 42% up over last year's premiere.
Well, you remember, they were talking about scrapping the show
altogether. Oh, no. People were. Bravo never was. Bravo said, we feel bad about Russell Armstrong's suicide, so we may delay the premiere of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills up to a week. We may hold off a good 5-6 days before we put that show in
Did
the air.
They really just delay it a week?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, of course, it's been in the news because Russell Armstrong, who is the estranged husband of Taylor Armstrong, one of the cast members, did commit suicide. And people are tuning in. You
That's
ghouls.
A respectful waiting time, though, right?
A week?
Absolutely.
5-6 days, yeah.
You freaking ghouls. Excellent! Betty White said, I'm glad he killed himself. She said that famously in the papers this week.
Mm-hmm. I read her when she said that.
And tonight, if you want to check out Late in the Show with David Letterman, Ashton Kutcher, John Cryer, and Angus T. Jones, the stars of Two and a Half Men, will be presenting the top 10 list. Their first performance together as a cast doing the top 10 list via satellite from the set of the show here in Los Angeles. So you can check that out if you're curious to see what those guys are going to be like. You know, I don't think I've ever watched an episode of Two and a Half Men. But I do think I will tune in for the season premiere on the 19th of this month to see what that's all about. So they got one more viewer than they did. Now, if the kid would commit suicide, 42%. I'm saying 42% probably.
I don't think that's a guarantee.
42% higher ratings they could get. That's what I'm saying. Apparently, that's the equation in show business.
I don't think that's the guarantee.
Betty White said that.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Amy Mann. She was in Till Tuesday, right? Is that Amy Mann?
She sure was. Yes. Had an Oscar-nominated song from the Magnolia movie.
Yeah.
Put her on the Academy Award broadcast that year, remember?
Married to Michael Penn, right? Weren't they
correct.
Couple?
All of these are right.
Yeah. I like her. She's
Ralph knows who Amy Mann is at this point.
I like Amy Mann.
I don't know who any of those people are.
51 years old today. David Arquette turns 40 years old. Henry Thomas.
Elliot.
From E.T. 40 years old today. Lorenz Tate. From Rescue Me turns 36. Pink celebrates her 32nd birthday. And Jonathan Taylor Thomas, who is from Home Improvement, played one of the Tim Allen's kids on that show. He is 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Comedian Greg Proops is going to be joining us. Greg Proop. Is that right? Do I have that right?
Yeah, well, that's, but no.
He's going to be joining us next hour here on the Kevin Beach Show. Very funny guy, very funny improv comedian. Also Rich Eisen from the NFL Network later this hour. All right, it's fascinating about music. I love music. And like a song like that, Pumped Up Kicks, great example. Love that song, great song. I feel like it's the kind of song that will age well, although it's a little bit of a novelty, a little bit wacky. I still feel like I will like that song in 10 years.
I agree.
What about you guys?
I agree, same thing.
You're going to hear it in 10 years, you're going to go, hey, good song. Yeah. Not embarrassed about that, nothing to be ashamed of. Don't need to turn that one down if it comes on my iPod while I'm driving through, you know, the neighborhood or whatever. Okay.
Correct.
Then there are other songs that are massive, huge hits, and maybe you even like them at the time, and then years go by and you go, what was I thinking? Seriously, that is a crappy song. I mean, it's this discussion we have all the time when we realize that Limp Bizkit sold more records than Pearl Jam last decade, right? I mean, we just look at that and you go, how is it possible that we liked Limp Bizkit at one time, right? It just didn't age well. Well, Rolling Stone magazine has put out their list of the worst songs of the 1990s. Now, that was a decade that had some phenomenal, great music, but it also had a lot of really, really bad songs. And I think it's a very interesting list. And it's also interesting to see, you know, there are songs on here that I think some people probably still like.
Just for the record, this is a reader's poll. This is not Rolling Stone saying this is our opinion. They did a reader's poll. So this is basically the people who wrote Rolling Stone. They came up with these songs.
So we thought it might be interesting to go through some of the items on their top 10 and then hear from you what songs you hate to this day from the 1990s if you want to call us at 1-800-520-1067. Where do we begin?
Well, we're going to start off at number 10 with Four Non-Blondes and What's Up.
Terrible.
Now,
terrible song.
It's a bad song, but I wouldn't think of that one immediately when I think top 10 worst.
No, I wouldn't either.
I was so happy
you
to
were.
See it on the list because I hated that song every minute that it was out and hate it even more now. So I was delighted to see that made the list.
How about number 9, which I consider a comedy song?
I'm too sexy for your party. Too sexy for your party. The way I'm disco dancing.
Come on, that's got to be comic, right? I mean, they meant that to be funny, right? I'm too sexy.
Of course they did. Yeah, they were totally poking fun of models back at the time. And like Rolling Stone says, the song was funny the first 10 times you heard it, but then it just wouldn't go away.
Well, that's true.
So that is number 9 on their worst songs of the 90s.
We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, if you think you can guess 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1.
Oh, all right.
But we're going to play 10 through 6. Number 8, I don't think anyone would disagree with.
Who let the dogs out?
Come on now.
I will
no one ever liked that, right?
Well, it was a big number one song, so somebody must have. I will tell you that it pains me in the Rolling Stone piece to see that the Seattle Mariners are the ones who started playing it in their ballpark, which then in turn ended up spreading to every single sports stadium in America.
Which it's ruined your it. Fault.
Seattle Seahawks ruined it.
I mean, the Mariners. No, it was already a hit. It was already a hit, but then it became a hit that you were forced to hear at any sporting event across the country, and that is awfully embarrassing.
And then there was...
I'm still here in my heart. My heart will go on and on.
From the Titanic soundtrack and Celine Dion. And by the way, that one, if I'm not mistaken, Bean, was number one like for most of the 90s.
Yeah.
That was crazy how big that was.
It was the biggest song the year it came out. And it does, I mean, look, I'm no Celine Dion fan. I think she's got a good voice, but she oversings everything. And I think that song is a perfect example of how she's so over the top.
Yeah, but I still get teary eyed when I you hear do? That song.
Really? That's yep. because you're picturing the yes. movie, yes. Titanic, the movie.
But would you listen to that if it came on the radio if you were driving home today, Lisa?
Lisa yes. would, yes. What do you think, Dean?
Yes,
wow. Come on. You know, for everybody, whenever we say would you still or who does, it's Chief, your dad, or it's Lisa.
Right.
All right. All right. So we've had the 10, 9, 8, 7. How about 6? Tell you, for lyrics alone, that one's great. You know what I mean? Like, that one really rules.
Hanson is still together, by the way, and still popular, but I'm sure they don't even like that song anymore. That is not one that you've got to be happy about playing or hearing again.
No, I agree. All right, so can you guess 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1 of the worst songs of the 90s? Let's start with Danny. Hi, Danny.
Hi.
Worst songs of the 90s?
I'd say the Macarena, for sure. Gotta be like in the top three.
By the way, Macarena is in the top three. It came in at number 2. Are you one of those people that never ever liked that song?
I gotta be honest. When it came out, I was a little bit kind of okay, taken away, but it gets annoying.
Yeah, I hear you.
It sure does. All right. And it is funny. Thank you very much for the call, Danny. It is funny that. That song was, again, like the Celine Dion song, was number one forever, 10, 12 weeks or something like that. But doesn't it seem like the minute it went away hard, like you never heard it again after that?
Yeah,
it was
put in
such
a
moment in time.
It got put in a safe and no one had the key. That's true.
All right, let's try Tiffany, line 4, talking about the worst songs of the 1990s, according to this Rolling Stone readers poll. What say you, Tiffany?
Hey, good morning, guys. Aqua, Barbie Girl.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tiffany has guessed number 1.
Oh,
yeah.
Good job.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. Life is plastic. It's fantastic.
That's the worst song of the 90s, according to the Rolling Stone readers.
I'm okay
Tiffany,
with that.
Yeah. How do you feel about it, Tiffany?
Loves it.
Okay, when I was a kid, I used to do a little dance for it.
Yes.
With my friends. And so it was good when I was, 10 years old. But now that I look back at it, I'm like, oh, man, what was I thinking?
But then you turned 10 years old in one day, and you went, nope. All right, so we have 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and then we have 3 and 1.
Okay.
Okay.
So we still need a couple of them.
All right, what's number 5, what's number 4, and what's number 3, I guess, is what we're looking for, right? 5, 4, and 3 is what we're looking for.
Yes.
1-800-520-1067, the worst songs of the 90s. And, by the way, if there are any that aren't on this list that you'd like to nominate, we'd like to hear from you, too. Coming up next on the Kevin and Bean. Talking about a fun article in Rolling Stone magazine about the worst songs of the 90s, according to their readers' poll. It's funny, by the way, a couple of listeners have suggested, hey, these songs are all of my favorite karaoke songs. These songs are still popular for people to get up and sing when they're out drinking and having a good time,
but
for whatever reason.
That's the key, though. The people that are responding to this poll aren't drunk at the time. If you're drunk and you're at a karaoke bar, you go, hey, who let the dogs out? Let's do that.
Right.
Because you're drunk and everything sounds like a good idea.
It sounds like the best idea ever.
Right.
We're going to get back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Help us fill out the rest of the top 10 list and also add some songs you think they missed. Here's an email from Lori. Hello, I'm at work. I cannot call in, but I must vote for the Crash Test Dummy song, Mm-mm-mm. I don't remember any lyrics, just a guy freaking humming. What's up with that? Well, that's my vote. I can't wait to hear the others. Thanks for being awesome. Listen to Crash Test Dummies.
Mm-hmm. I always wonder if songs like that, they write out the lyrics, or if he just goes, hmm.
You know, I always thought that that was a placekeeper in the song, and then the intention was to go back and add lyrics later.
Someday
and then
they would just put real lyrics in there?
Yeah. All right, before we get to your calls, here's one more from Facebook. Angela writes in from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, how about Steal My Sunshine by the band Len? Remember that one? That effing song blows.
I sort of like that one for a little bit.
I know it's all for me. Making sure I'm not in too deep.
I can see how it's a little annoying, but...
I don't hate it as much as some of the ones we're talking about here. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Lori on line one. If you're just joining us, readers poll from Rolling Stone magazine: What's Up by Four Non Blondes, number 10, I'm Too Sexy, number 9, Who Let the Dogs Out, Then My Heart Will Go On, Bop. And I think now we're getting into the top five. We had a couple of them that people had not guessed yet. Lori is up next. What's going on?
Hi, I think it would be Vanilla Ice Baby.
There it is.
Remember how huge this was?
Lori, I don't know how old you are, but do you remember when that song was out and on the radio?
I'm 39, so yes, I remember it well.
And did you like it at the time? Because I did. I thought it was pretty cool at the time.
I think I did.
You know, part of the problem is, first of all, some of these songs are hateable the first time you hear them. Second of all, they could be okay and you sort of like them, but then it gets ruined with too much play. You've heard it too many times. So there's a couple of different things that could go wrong.
Thank you for the call. I think I was fine with Ice Ice Baby until I heard my first black person rap, and then I realized that's the way it's supposed to be done. Let's try Ryan, line three on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ryan, thanks a lot for calling in. Worst song of the 90s. What do you think?
Would it be Achy Breaky Heart by Billy Ray Cyrus or whatever to do with the mullet?
Yeah, I can't. I got to tell you, that's number three on the list. I can't imagine a world where this is not number one.
Don't tell my heart. Heart. I just don't think he'd understand.
Don't tell my heart, I just don't think he'd understand. Mm-hmm. F you.
Yeah, that's a horrible song for country music. It's a horrible song for pop music. It's a horrible song for humans. Thank you for the call. All right, so Vanilla Ice, Ice Ice Baby number 4, Billy Ray Cyrus, Achy Breaky Heart number 3. We talked about Macarena at 2, Barbie Girl at number 1. All we need is number 5, and I think Chelsea may have that for us on line 7. Hey, Chelsea, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Whoa,
is that your real voice?
Whoa,
wait, is that how you talk?
Yes.
Are you sucking helium right now?
No.
What is happening? Whatever song you were going to mention is not as bad as listening to you talk.
Hey, there's something wrong with my headphones, Mug. That girl sounded like... What? Say hi again.
Hi.
Unbelievable. All right. What song do you think?
Tub Something by Chumbawamba.
I get no doubt, but I get up again. Yeah, yeah, it only keeps me down. I get no doubt, but I get up again.
Yeah.
I just want to keep Chelsea on the line as long as possible. What do you think of that song, Chelsea? Tell me in a great deal of detail.
I heard it first when I was like 7, so I don't
Hold on. You're not 7 now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. All right. Let's squeeze in a couple more. I think we have time. Songs that didn't make the Rolling Stone top 10, but you still think are horrible songs from the 1990s. Let's go to Jerry on line 2. Hi, Jerry. Thanks a lot for calling in. What's going on, dude?
Hi. Looking for songs that are maybe didn't make the top 10, but are horrible memories of the 90s.
Cat Team, Whoop, There It Is.
You know,
every ball game, you hear it at every club, and people try to be nostalgic with it, and I think it's just a douchebag song. I hate it.
Thank you for the call.
Good choice. Let's try Allie. Allie's on line one. She's got one that a lot of people are also emailing in. Allie, welcome to the show. Worst song in the 90s. What do you think?
Hi. Hi, Lisa May.
What's happening with the highs?
They're just
Mambo number 5. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side.
Yeah, I wanted to F that one at the very beginning. Like the first time I heard it, I was like, no, you don't.
They play at every wedding for whatever reason.
Is it one of those songs that the grandparents can dance to and also the young people can go, well, it's okay? Is that why?
It's good when you're drunk.
Apparently.
It's only good when you're drunk.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Matthew. He's on line 4. Here's a band I haven't thought about in a long time. One of the biggest acts. They sold tens of millions of albums in the 90s. Matthew, what song are you calling about?
What do you do, Lisa May? I got to say Spice Girls, Wannabe.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really
Stop teasing.
I don't know that I have any feelings about the Spice Girls at all anymore. Do you hate them still?
I hate that song.
All right. You want to do, can we do Nick? Do we have time for one more? Can
sure.
we do Nick? Because this is honorary mention. Let's face it. We can't have this conversation without bringing up this song. Hi, Nick. Welcome.
Hello, Nick. Oh, what a shame.
Oh,
he had a good one.
That's what happens when you're a Limp Bizkit fan. You can't operate a phone.
I still like that song.
Another song I liked at the time.
I did too.
I liked it when it was out.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800-520. Oh, that's not even we're done. Hold on. My radio just turned itself on.
Happening?
I don't know what's. My radio just turned itself on.
How does your radio turn yourself on and you're on the radio?
I don't know. I can't turn it off. Stop.
Let's hear what's on.
In Renton, 57 degrees.
All right.
Oh, nice. There we go.
Good times.
All right. NFL. Oh.
This is your last chance.
I don't want to gross you out, Lisa, but I'm a little bit moist thinking about what's going to be on my TV tonight.
Oh, you're grossing us all out.
Actual football that actually counts. New Orleans versus Green Bay is the game. Rich Eisen, lead anchor for the NFL Network, joins us back on the Kevin Bean Show. Rich, Merry Christmas to you, my friend. How you feeling?
And a happy Hanukkah to you.
I can't believe it's finally here. This is so, so exciting. Hey, why don't we start with all the talk this week has been about Peyton Manning. What's the story? How hurt is he?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there's lots of talk that he could be done for the season, that he's not ready to go with a neck injury and those things with nerves, necks, backs, you never can predict. He may need a second procedure. If he does, that might actually knock him out for the rest of the season.
Man, talk about changing the entire season around for a team.
Yeah, I know. And you know, he's a four-time MVP
right.
of the league for a reason. So tonight from 1 to 4 our time out here on the West Coast, we're going to do our three-hour pregame show from Los Angeles. And Marshall Faulk, who knows this situation intimately because he knows the offense. He knows how Peyton's role in the offense grew from the ground up. He's going to give his thoughts on I think he thinks that you could literally stick a fork in this team, even though you never know with the NFL. You never know. Kerry Collins could find the fountain of youth, and he could somehow grasp this offense better than most any other human being can, not named Peyton Manning, and you never know. But it looks bleak right
Here's
now.
Here's what I know, at least when you watch the game. It won't be an hour of that, so you cut the game short by an hour.
Well, he does. What that is Peyton Manning essentially calling the play.
And then changing it, and then changing it again.
Like, with words like ice cream, Japan, some very odd words that get thrown out there. It's something that nobody else does, and that's why people think they're sort of screwed without Peyton.
All right, tell us about tonight's matchup.
Well, it's a matchup of the last two Super Bowl champions, and it's awesome. It's a great way to just dig in, and it's really possibly a crucial game because if these two teams wind up being the top two teams in the NFC, as many people expect, then whoever wins this game might be able to host a championship game come January.
Wow!
And if it's in New Orleans, that possibly would, you know, here's the thing. If it's in Green Bay, it definitely is the advantage of the Green Bay Packers
sure.
because of how cold it is and that they're used to being out there. And any dome team like New Orleans usually doesn't fare very well in the freezing cold in January. But if it's in New Orleans, obviously they've got a great advantage there. But as we saw last year in Atlanta in a playoff game and we also saw in the Super Bowl, you know, giving Green Bay a dome where they can spread it out with five wide receivers also plays to their advantage,
yeah.
too. But it is very crucial who wins tonight, I think, when all said and done.
And I want to ask you this, too. Because of the wacky preseason, the shortened preseason, and all the quick decisions that had to be made, and I don't know, it seems to me like the teams who have the most returning players, the teams that are basically intact from last year, are the ones that are going to have an advantage. Is that the case with both of these teams? Are they both pretty much returning last year's team to the field?
Absolutely. First of all, I love how you use the word wacky like it's an episode of Three's Company. Like the worst nightmare of my life, 136-day lockout. Leaving that, but yes, it does. It does help these teams out. It helps any team that doesn't have a lot of change, that has the same core coming back. And it certainly helps the defending Super Bowl champions. And that's why I think the Packers have a great chance to repeat, is when a Super Bowl champion normally goes through a normal, unwacky year,
right.
They go right on the rubber chicken dinner circuit. They're fed it in their hometowns. They are constantly hearing about how they're world champs, and they live it, they breathe it, and then 40 to 45 days later, boom, they're back at work in an off-season workout program, going through the grind again, and going through practices, and going through this, and going through that, and they feel like they didn't have a break. And then many of these teams lose a crucial member of their coaching staff or a crucial member of their team through free agency, and that didn't happen for Green Bay either.
Right, well.
So they are intact, they're fresh, and they're mentally fresh, too. I think this is a tremendous advantage for them.
There's quite a few teams this year that I don't have any kind of feel of at all. I didn't see much of them in the preseason, and it seemed like they had a lot of personnel changes or a lot of new starting quarterbacks in the league. I mean, there are quite a few question marks on the board that we won't have any answers to until after this weekend's play, right, Rich?
Very difficult getting a hold on teams like the Tennessee Titans. I mean, they go through a coaching change. They have Matt Hasselbeck from Seattle come down and quarterback their team. Nobody knows how good their defense is. They could surprise a team like the Lions. A lot of people are thinking could be very good, but you know, obviously now the games are no longer played on paper. It's really exciting. There's just so much. Like, how will Chad Ochocinco look in New England?
Sure.
What's McNabb going to do for the Minnesota Vikings? What's happening with the Washington Redskins quarterback situation? Could they really negotiate a 16-game NFC East-laden schedule with that? It just, and that's just five teams off the top of my head.
I gotta tell you, it's
exciting.
So great, too, because now it matters. So when you turn on the game, it's not going to be the third-string quarterback that you've never heard of. They're going with the A-team.
For all four quarters, too.
Yeah.
This is the voice of our friend Rich Eisen here on the Kevin Bean Show, of course, the lead anchor for the NFL Network. Tell us a little bit more about what you got planned for today, and now that the season is in full gear, what's your regular schedule like on the NFL Network?
My regular schedule is, normally, I've for the last 8 years, I've hosted the signature daily news and information show, Total Access, but I'm no longer doing that. That show has been recast with a whole new crew and a whole new format, and it's very exciting for the show and also for me. I'm basically going to start focusing on my podcast more than anything else, which is something, as you know, I love being self-promotional about.
Sure.
And I love to do. I love the long format opportunities. This week, my show that went up yesterday on NFL.com and iTunes and also debuted on the network in a cut-down version, Tom Brady, the dreamy Tom Brady of the New England Patriots,
sure,
the reigning MVP, Dan Patrick, my old colleague from ESPN, and he has his own radio show in his man cave. We hooked up his man cave to my man closet, or my man cubicle, here at NFL Network. And then Adam Carolla came on.
Wow.
And that was a lot of fun, because he always has some really interesting ideas to improve the game, like creating a third upright for field goals that comes up only in the fourth quarter, and if you elect to kick at it, you get 10 points for hitting it.
I don't see how that could lose. That sounds like a great idea.
I mean, that's a winner.
He's got all the good ideas, doesn't
yeah,
he?
So of course we put that poll up on our makeshift uprights on our demo field set, and hijinks ensued is
sure,
the only way to put it, as I had to kick at it. But that's what I love to do. I love to have shows where anything can happen, and I'm doing that. I'm doing Sunday Game Day Morning, our 4-hour pregame show every Sunday. I'm doing, which is 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. our time, and then after the games at 4:30 our time is NFL Game Day Highlights. Me, Dion, and Mariucci are out there talking about what just happened for the day's events. And then Thursday, week 10 of the season, as always, we begin our 8-game package. I'll be on the road for that. So that's what I've got going on.
You're staying busy. All right.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And you did such – I mean, getting fired from NFL Total Access, you were able to paint that into a way that made it sound like it was your idea,
well,
which I'm impressed with.
It's all about failing up.
Right, exactly.
And if that's basically what you want to do in this business.
That's correct.
Continue to fail up.
That's correct.
And,
well,
or at least spin it in a way where it looks that way.
Absolutely. You are so great on TV, and we're always grateful for the time you're able to give us on the radio. Rich Eisen, lead anchor from the NFL Network. Check it out on your satellite or cable television, and have a great season, man. I hope we get to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, I hope so, too. You bet.
Oscar De La Hoya has finally admitted it was him in the tights. It wasn't actually Photoshop. We'll talk more about that coming up after the top of the hour.
Fishnet
here on the Kevin
stockings.
And Bean Show.
That's right.
Not
that's right.
Tights.
Whatever they were. I'm not as familiar with ladies' underwear as you are, Ralph.
I'm sure that's true. I guarantee you that's true.
And Greg Proops also joins us in studio next hour, too. First, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
But you know boxers and briefs, though, Sailor. Reese Witherspoon is recovering after being hit by a car while jogging.
Wow.
She's telling the people, do not work out. It is dangerous.
That's the takeaway from the story?
Yep. She was struck by a car while jogging in Santa Monica yesterday morning. She was running through an unmarked crosswalk.
Oh.
Shame on you, Greasy Reezy.
What?
Around 11 a.m.
What did you call her?
Greasy Reezy.
Is that her nickname?
Yeah. Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. Around 11 a.m. and she was hit by an 84-year-old woman.
Ah!
Who failed to slow down and struck her. That 84-year-old woman was Betty White, by the way. Betty White trying to run down the younger actresses.
Dude, Betty White hasn't been 84 for a decade. Come on.
Yeah.
That's
how they do it there.
Apparently, she suffered minor injuries and was transported by elephant to a local hospital. Because one of her co-stars from Water for Elephants apparently was luckily in the neighborhood. And
that's great news.
picked her up in his trunk and just took her to the hospital. So it all worked out.
We had a death corner story yesterday about a woman who ran into a motorcyclist after running through a light. She was 70. You've got this 84-year-old. I was in the car with my dad over the weekend in Las Vegas. He's 73. We have to stop these old people from getting behind the wheel, right? We have to.
That's long been my thing, but you can't.
But I know.
I think they should put driving tests in every year after a certain age. Because the woman that hit Reese Witherspoon probably still doesn't know it.
Yeah. Or she saw one of Reese's movies and thought she deserved it.
That's probably fair enough. I mean, my dad is 80, but he's still a really good driver. So I think if you test him, the people who are good drivers will be fine. The ones who aren't will be taken off the road.
I think there's at least some of them, yeah.
It's not a direct correlation between age and driving, but it does seem like there is a growing number of, as America's population gets older, there seems to be a trouble with older people and driving.
Yeah. CNN had a lady on the other day, Ralph. Maybe you saw this story. She was 103, and she was still driving.
Oh, come on now. You can't have been born before the car was invented and still drive. That should be the rule of thumb.
Is that the cutoff date?
If you at one time traveled via coach and horse, you can no longer be behind the wheel. Those are the rules.
All right.
Gossip Girl. You know, y'all love the Gossip Girl.
Sure.
Oh, it's a good show.
I love it.
It looks good and it's great and it's red.
Gossip Girl, good.
Gossip Girl is moving to Los Angeles. It's based in New York, but the new season will have it moving to L.A. for its fifth season. Spice things up a little bit.
Okay.
And apparently Elizabeth Hurley is joining the cast.
All right.
As a cougar who hooks up with Chase Crawford, Private Eye, who plays Nate on the show.
That's fine. Elizabeth Hurley, welcome edition.
I think she's slumming a bit, isn't she, Elizabeth Hurley? You do a Gossip Girl?
Yeah, I would look at it that way.
Congratulations to Matthew Perry. He's got a brand new bachelor pad. The news was this week he dropped a few bucks on a brand new, well, it's not a brand new home. It was made in 1962, but it's one of those classic glass and steel sort of modern homes in the Hollywood Hills.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice enough place, three bedrooms, about 4,000 square feet, fireplaces, a media room. It sounds like a nice, cozy little place to hang out in.
Right.
$8.6 million.
Wow.
Wow.
4,000 square feet?
I think my last apartment before I bought a house was 4,000 square feet.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. It is.
But that friend's money, that's forever right there, people.
It's true.
And can we talk to the Flaming Lips and tell them to cut it out? Seriously.
Stop what you're doing. All right.
They are... They've announced they're currently working on a song that will last 6 hours.
All right.
It's called Found a Star on the Ground. And for $100, Wayne Coyne, the frontman for Flaming Lips, will sing your name as part of the lyrics. Give him $100, he'll put your name in the lyrics of his six-hour song. For more information, you can go to flaminglips6hoursong.com about how to get your name in the song.
What's the point of that?
I guess they're raising money. I guess it's a charity thing. They're raising money.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Raising money for the Central Oklahoma Humane Society and Academy of Contemporary Music at the University of Central Oklahoma.
Well, those animals need their music studies.
They sure do. Because, you know, a violin-playing cat is a happy cat, I've always said.
I've heard you say it.
Six-hour song. Cut it out, Flaming Lips.
And
stop it with the goofy costumes and the balloons.
Put together a four-minute song first that I like.
That's right.
And then we can
expand on it. God damn it.
Flaming Lips have had their great moments, but they do get pretty far out there in the ether. They had that one album, Ralph, a few years ago, where it was in quadraphonic stereo. Uh-huh. If you can have that quadraphonic in stereo, but it was on four discs, and you were meant to get four different CD players and put a disc in each one, and then start them all at the same time, and that was the way to hear all the music the right way.
Come on, now.
That's bullshit.
Come on, Flaming Lips.
You're working too hard at that point. If that's what you're coming up with,
they're
right?
Making us work too hard. That's the problem. Yes. How hard do I have to work to listen to your music?
Well, you need four CD players that you can then start at the same time. That's what
overruled.
You need.
Flaming Lips.
6 hour song.
Flaming Lips. 6 hour song. Today's celebrity birthday is Amy Mann, who never once did a 6 hour song. Not right. Once in her lengthy career. She's 51 years old today. David Arquette. I think he's the king of the scream, isn't he?
He is. I hear that.
I hear. Yeah.
He is 40 years old. Henry Thomas, Little Elliot from E.T. is 40 years old. Lorenz Tate from Rescue Me, which had its series finale last night. I don't know if anybody caught the goodbye episode to Rescue Me.
I didn't.
36 years old today. Singer Pink celebrates her 32nd birthday. And Jonathan Taylor Thomas, one of the sons of Tim Allen on... that's that show. What was that
Home
show?
Improvement.
Home Improvement. Thank you there, Beer Mug. He is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Well, Oscar De La Hoya, back in the news. I don't know if you saw. Finally, he has admitted that those photos we saw of him in the fishnet stockings a few years ago that he claimed were photoshopped.
Yes.
They're real. They're his. And that was just the tip of the iceberg with the problems that Oscar De La Hoya has admitted to in an interview he did with Univision. We thought we'd bring the champ on the phone and maybe we can discuss a little bit and see how he's feeling today. Oscar, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. It's me, the great champion. I'm just so happy to be on the phone with you. I love you. All my best to my Mexican fans. Te quiero mucho. Hello. Great champion.
Yes.
All right. Golden boy.
Right. Yes, I understand. Were you a golden boy when you were dressed up in that hotel room in fishnet stockings, posing in boxing gloves?
Oh, people have tried to embarrass me. They tried to disparage my great reputation as a Mexican champion because
right.
I'm very Mexican and very proud to be Mexican.
Right.
And I've done many things that I'm not proud of, but after I've gotten clean of drugs, I've gone through the rehab, I've come to the conclusion it's good for me to be honest. And that was a part of my life that I have to come forward and be honest about. And that was a time in my life, and I'm not proud of it, but it is something that I've done. And I'm just very, very Mexican. I'm proud to be Mexican.
You
my heart
that.
Is made of avocado,
right.
And my soul is made of mango.
You mentioned all that. But at the time, you were saying it was Photoshop, absolutely not true. Now, since then, as you mentioned, you went into rehab, I believe, for alcohol and cocaine.
I went to a Mexican rehab because I'm proud to be Mexican. I'm a great champion, the golden boy.
Right,
right. And you admitted to the drugs, the cocaine, the alcohol. You also have admitted to cheating on your wife repeatedly. That's out there now, right?
Yeah, I mean, but what's the problem with that? Come on.
All right. Well, I think your wife might have a different opinion about that.
I just want to say thank you to all my Mexican fans who support me. I'm not trying to pander. It's just very important for me to tell everybody that I am, in fact, Mexican. You love me. I'm Mexican.
Right. You're pandering a lot.
Do you know how Mexican I am? Do you know how Mexican I am?
No, how?
My face is a tortilla.
Your face is not a tortilla, Oscar.
My balls are a Dodger blanket. My balls are a Dodger blanket. It's true.
That's not true. Look, we understand you're from Mexico. Everybody has already accepted that.
I was in a donkey show.
Oh, no. You don't need to continue to try to prove that, though. But look, isn't there, at some point, it seems like you're going to run out of stuff to admit to. It seems like at this point you've already told us any possible even bad thought that you've had in your life.
I have to come forward and I have to come to grips with all the bad things that I've done
right.
because of the Mexican drugs that I've done. And it's hard for me to admit this, but I'm responsible for unemployment right now.
What are you talking about? No one's even accusing you of being responsible for that.
It's true. I did it.
You didn't do it. You're making stuff up.
All right. Listen, you cheated on your wife. Okay. And you admitted to it. You took the pictures. And you
killed Lincoln.
You didn't kill Lincoln.
Why would you say that? You weren't even born.
What's the point of this?
I launched the Tet Offensive.
Okay. Listen, Oscar. I've never been to 12 Steps, and maybe I need to. But
how much stuff are you supposed to admit to? I mean, isn't it just the stuff that you've done in your life, or do you have to pretty much account for all wrongdoing in history?
You have to be fully, relentlessly honest. You have to come to the conclusion that you are a person that has faults.
Right.
You have flaws. You have flaws.
Okay.
You have character flaws and shortcomings, and you have to come to grips with that. And that's why I'm here to say I'm sorry for writing Geely.
You didn't write Geely.
You didn't have anything to do with that movie at all.
No one even made that accusation.
I'm solely responsible for Anthony Kiedis' lyrics.
Well, somebody's got to be.
You guys know how Mexican I am?
No. How Mexican are you?
When I fart, slow jams come out.
That's awfully Mexican.
That's as Mexican as you can be.
Thank you. How is it possible in all these years, I don't believe we've ever had Greg Proops on the Kevin and Bean Show, but he joins us in studio right now. Very funny comedian and improver. How are you, Greg? Welcome.
Good morning, Kevin. I'm quite well. Good morning, Southern California, eh?
How are you?
I'm groovy. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Greg, well, it's great being here. Thanks. That's been great.
All right. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
That was quicker than I anticipated it would be. We probably first, most of us became familiar with you from the Whose Line Is It Anyway television show.
Well, I was the golden boy on that show, and I want to say hi to my Mexican fans. Yo quiero mucho and whatnot.
I don't remember you being the golden boy, but all right.
Yeah, there. No, I'm the white guy. I'm the one with the glasses. Okay. I'm so white that I've got plain yogurt as planned as a festival coming up.
That show was a miracle to me that it was, I mean, improv comedy is something that had been going around for a long time, but I never thought it would make it on television. And it was a huge hit and ran for many years, right?
It did, yeah. We're still playing together all the time. I play with Ryan, he's the tall one, and then Colin is the older fellow, and Wayne was the black guy. And
right.
I still play with all of them. I'm in groups with all of them. I was just in England. I did a bunch of shows with all the English cast of Whose Line Is It Anyway? So horribly, we're all friends. We should have a crack war, but we don't.
We should.
When Drew Carey got the big daytime TV game show money, he took all of your phone numbers out of his phone. That was the last you ever heard from that guy, right?
Well, Drew, you mean formerly Two and a Half Men?
Yes.
He's game show hosting now. I did a kid show a couple years ago on Nickelodeon, and he was very snotty to me, and he came up and he went, "Hey, still on Nickelodeon?" And I went, "Hey, still on daytime?" So, we still work together. We did a show that's on Game Show Network now that no one's watching. It's enormously unpopular, and I'm pretty proud of that. I think what Drew did was carefully take the Whose Line legacy and spittle it out on the Game Show Network.
I see.
So it's then, in between Card Sharks 89 and a Burt Convy retrospective. Thank you. I just wanted to say Burt Convy on your
that
station.
That is the first time it's ever been said.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I can't see why that's not fighting an audience. So,
no, we do an improv show, so I see all those guys all the time.
Good.
Drew's like a bore about exercise now. You know, like people who quit smoking and they never stop talking about it?
Right.
Now that he quit eating, like, French dip sandwiches for breakfast and drinking gallons of Pepsi, he's like, "Hey, I jog." And I'm like, "Boring. Why don't you tell me about apps you're downloading? Then I can really hate you, D-bag."
We, as everybody who's ever met Drew Carey knows, he's the nicest guy in the world. And we love him so much. And we used to see him back when the radio station was over in the Valley. We used to see him all the time at the Bob's Big Boy. And he would go there every single day and have lunch just like a regular Joe and sit there and read his scripts or whatever for
but
the TV show.
That's when he ate all the time.
And when he ate all the time. I bet he hasn't set foot in a Bob's Big Boy in about 10 years.
Well, in the last year, you may have noticed that the Bob's Big Boy in Toluca Lake, the flag is flying at half mast. Because Drew's booth is no longer full.
He lost his business.
Yeah, there's French fries just crying over there. Although it was a French fry holocaust when he hit the place. It was really a sad day.
They were not prepared for it, I heard.
No, they weren't.
I heard it was ugly.
Yeah, the Ori-Ida people wore black armbands when Drew walked in the place. No, now he's Mr. I drink raspberry sodas, and he broke his collarbone or his uterus or something the other week when he was jogging.
I think it was his uterus.
Yeah, yeah. One of his fallopian tubes pinged on him, and he just went down. Too much estrogen. You know how it is. Sure. You exercise all the time like that.
Of course.
But isn't that a dream for a lot of people in show business who are on television? A game show. That's like printing money. Don't you go in and you work a few days a month, and then you have the rest of the time off, and it still appears as if you're on television every day.
And you can sexually harass the cast. It's really awesome.
I think that was more Bob Barker than it was maybe Drew. But I mean, it's a great...
Bob loves small animals.
He does.
Yes, he does. So you're out on the... You're doing the Whose Line tour all over the world. You're still doing that. And you also now have a very popular podcast, which you have modestly entitled The Smartest Man in the World Podcast.
Well, it's supposed to be a joke.
Hey, that's my name of my podcast.
Is it really?
No.
Oh, I was going to say the second smartest man in the world, perhaps. It was a friend of mine told me, you know how you come off. You know, you're you're erudite, you're a pedagogue, you're pedantic. And I thought, shut up. So he said, why don't you call it the smartest man in the world? So, yeah, it's been really good. As you know, podcasting is the new way that comedians can globally disseminate their comedy to an audience all over the earth and still receive no fiscal remuneration. So.
Yeah, that's an odd thing, isn't it? Because everybody's going to podcasts, but very few have turned it into cash. Do you think there's going to be a day when that happens?
You mean, as my manager would say to me, Greg, how can we monetize this?
Well, sure. I mean, that's the question everybody's been asking.
I'm tired of carrying you. how do you monetize this, Greg? I think you get advertisers and stuff like that. People do things like have donate buttons, but I won't do that. I kind of like that it's free because I'm finding that I'm connecting with the audience directly more than I ever have before, like you guys do on the radio show. Mm-hmm. We're talking right into people's ear.
Right.
And that's what happens with the podcast. It's way different than stand-up. Expectations are different. People allow you to talk about way many more things.
And by expectations are different, you mean lower?
Yeah. I don't have to be funny.
Okay.
And it really works out for me. So it's like being at home with me, except I'm slightly drunker.
All right.
I think that they expect me, you know, I can talk about different things and more things. When you're on a stand-up stage, you got to hit home runs every few minutes. You can't go, let me take about 15 minutes to get to this point here. But on the podcast, I can shuffle through my papers a little bit and kind of talk about what I want to talk about.
Are you trying to talk people out of listening to your podcast?
No, I think they should go this minute. I think your audience would dig on it heartily. One, it emanates mostly from Los Angeles, although I've done it all over the world this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I take questions from the audience. And so this year I've had Australians, New Zealanders. I was in Scotland the week before last, and you can't understand what anyone's saying. That's best part.
Yeah.
That's it. Greg, I have a question about Jana. My name's Jimmy. I don't want to know. When you think it's Jimmy, take a dollar. And I'm like, Jimmy, thank you for the question. I didn't understand a bloody word you said. And that's the best part of Scotland, aside from the alcoholism.
You have to bring a translator with you, I think, to translate for Scottish.
And
English.
We did it in Montreal, and there were French Canadians there, and they were like, how do you explain the United States position? You know, everybody talks like Celine Dion, except their arm stays in one place. And their heart doesn't go on, strangely. Mon coeur attendait.
Greg Proops is here, being smarter and funnier than we are. The smartest man in the world is the name of his podcast. You can see it live and in person, also free, by the way, next Wednesday, if I have the date right, Greg, September the 14th at the Comedy Central Space in Hollywood. And that is at 8 o'clock. You can get that information at gregproops.com. And then in following weeks, you're going to be at the Meltdown Comics in Hollywood. And then I guess you have a semi-regular location at the Bar Lubitschka, right?
Yeah, the Bar Lubitsch is groovy. It's a vodka bar and very Baroque inside, and there's like nudes on the walls. A really, really awesome back room, kind of a speakeasy feel to that.
I like it.
Can I give you another
sure.
So that I don't confuse everyone? Proopcast.com, that has more stuff on it.
Oh,
because Kevin was telling me that all the videos on my website have been taken down.
I went to his website. I'm guessing 9 out of 10 are down.
Oh, God.
They look like they're there. You click on them and it says it's been removed by copyright.
Well, a lot of them were like Swedish Bikini Team videos and stuff.
Oh.
So it was just old stuff.
That hurts me.
Yeah. No, but Proopcast will have everything on it.
Okay. We'll take a break. The smartest man in the world is here. I've never felt so dumb. I don't know about you, Kevin, but we'll return with our guest right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian Greg Proops in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, of the Smartest Man in the World podcast. Lots of upcoming Southern California dates, including next Wednesday at the Comedy Central Space in Hollywood. What's the website again where you want people to go for all those details?
Proopcast.com. No, I'm not going to spell it.
I would like to see if we can start some sort of a East Coast, West Coast, maybe a podcast feud between you and Corolla. I'd like to see you two like start sniping at each other at every single opportunity.
All right, I will. I'll take the first shot. Hey, Adam, why don't you repeat the same story over again? That'd be great. Why don't you give one of your right-wing Cro-Magnon Neanderthal opinions on today's public policy? That ought to be pretty zesty. How about people should go to jail if three people think they're guilty or whatever your bloody theory is, Adam? I'm joking, of course. He had me on his show, and he's such a nice person.
He's the best, but he does have insane theories.
Yeah, he does, yes, man.
But the thing that worries me is that by the end of it, I come around to agreeing with him, and I shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't, Kevin. You're too easily swayed.
That's correct.
You need to come and listen to my show, and I'll show you the light.
The smartest man in the world.
I'm going to start listening to your podcast, Greg, because I have to tell you how much I enjoy the use of the word zesty right there. I have not heard the word zesty in decades.
I know. Zesty needs to come back, as does the word trundle, which is what Snooki does. I saw her walk, and she trundles like
a
hedgehog. Mm-hmm. Or an armadillo, you know, because your booty is so large that there's universe is being sucked into the gravitational pull because of the density.
Right.
She has that kind of whoa, whoa, whoa. There's a Conestoga wagon crossing her butt, and I saw them starving to death, just parched out there. We've been out here 6 weeks, ain't even seen the Great Divide. I think there's a few words that need to come back.
A few words besides those?
Well, those trundle would be my
trundle.
First one.
Okay.
And zesty always. Zesty. Zangy.
I'm gonna start working zesty.
Wait, what would you just say?
Zangy.
Zangy.
Yeah.
Zangy.
Kittens is my big exclamation that keeps me from swearing.
Kittens.
Yeah, kitten. Holy kittens.
Oh, okay.
That keeps you from saying other words with K's in them.
I got you.
As a comedian, the world
Don't
has
speak
never
as
been...
a comedian. Speak as a radio personality.
I think
also,
okay, you
oh, you're characterizing the question towards
yes,
me. I'm correct. Sorry.
You,
I jumped
you
on that
being
one.
A comedian, their world has never been riper for parody or richer for material. I see guys like you who are observational. Like, bringing up Jersey Shore is a perfect example. Guys like Lewis Black, whose head is going to explode if he watches one more thing on television. There's so much that needs to be made fun of, and you probably are a kind of guy who can't wait to get behind a microphone and tackle the world.
Pretty much. Either that or get high all day and watch movies. Those are my two big goals in life.
I'm down with the second one.
Yeah. I mean, last
that
night...
That sounds more like Rogan.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Rogan's
on YouTube too much. That's
I don't
his problem.
Think, yeah, I don't think he watches movies all day. I think Rogan is looking inside his brain, so it's like the last scene of 2001, just this weird green field going past with a giant eyeball blinking every once in a while. Last night was the Republican debate, and there's really nowhere to start. Talk about an infinite number of monkeys in a room. We'll end up saying the most nonsense that could ever be. Rick Perry doesn't believe in global warming. His state is on fire.
That is true.
That's fantastic.
But he did have two days of prayer to stop the fires.
Yeah, yes, he's leading
a prayer. Did he say that?
Oh, he had 2 days of prayer that were decreed in Texas to try to stop the fires, yes.
Don't you love the arrogance of politicians that they think they can manipulate God's will? Don't you think God is a little bit busy hanging the whoop and wharf and weft of the universe and scattering stars across the galaxy to take time out to look in on Rick Perry? Or may I call him Big Dick Perry? I think is what we all ought to be aiming toward here.
That is zesty.
His act plays
nice
sometimes.
Nice, but I don't think you pulled it off.
Yeah.
Are you ready for politics yet, though? Because
no,
I can't possibly...
6 months till the first primary, and we're already having
that's
debates.
That's what I'm saying.
If you turn on your TV today, they're going to tell you it's a two-man race now. The purpose of last night's debate was to get rid of the Newt Gingriches of the world and, you know, and the Santorums and all those guys, and now just start focusing on the two people who can win. I mean, that's where we're at.
Do you remember 3 weeks ago Michelle Bachmann was the winner because she won a straw poll in Iowa? Mm-hmm. Pretty much the media has boiled down to, I like him, he's the winner! Why don't we just have a guy decide? Why don't we have Anderson Cooper decide in his scoop neck t-shirt? He can tell us who we're supposed to vote for or whatever.
Our guest is Greg Proopser on the Kevin and Bean Show. We haven't brought this up on the air yet, but Greg, I think you'll be interested in this. And I don't know if you've heard what Ricky Gervais said yesterday about his idea for a podcast. Does it sound familiar? You heard anything about this? Or is this going to be news to you?
No, I know he has a podcast.
Yes. And in fact, he was the first of the comedians that I became aware of who had a podcast and made it a big deal. And it became hugely successful. I mean, in my mind, he was the, you know, he's the guy who went through the door first.
The podfather.
New world.
He's the podfather.
He's the podfather, right. Here's what he blogged yesterday, and I think this is brilliant. He's talking about the Golden Globes. Remember, he offended a whole bunch of people when he hosted the Golden Globes.
Nothing like offending show business people. It's just easy and fun.
What do you think about this, he writes? A 3-hour podcast during the Golden Globes. Me and a few chums like Louis C.K., Chris Rock, Pilkington, Jon Stewart, Larry David, or whoever, popping in and out, doing our own alternative commentary. Oh. People at home can have the television on with the sound down, and they can be listening to us online saying things that no broadcaster could get away with. Completely uncensored. No one could do an effing thing. How brilliant would that be?
That'd be super awesome. I wouldn't be surprised if he did it. It's a groovy idea.
That is a great idea.
And in fact, I'm stealing it if he doesn't do it, and I think it should be done during all award shows. I think last year during the Oscars when Anne Hathaway was sitting on the edge of the stage acting like she was a beloved American superstar, I thought, when did you graduate to Elaine Stritchhood? You're 12 years old and have a soft head and no one's ever seen any of your movies that's over the age of 8. And you're sitting on the edge of the stage like Judy Garland at the end of your career.
Yeah.
Someone needs to slam show business every second of the day because they really
you're in show business though, right? You understand that you're playing by the same rules they are. You've got an agent and a manager and all that, right?
Are you in show business?
I am in show business.
All right.
My name's Greg and I am in show business. There, I've said it, I admitted it.
All right.
But you know, you go to meetings in show business and they'll go, podcast? What is that? Is that on a computer? And you're like, oh, please. They're so far behind. They really think TV's important. They don't realize that young people don't watch TV anymore.
Yeah.
They download what they want when they want to watch it. And yet they're fighting to get young people to watch TV, which is fruitless. You might as well tell young people to just sober up. You know what I mean?
It's really stop having sex while you're at it.
And then, like, you know, like the Oscars last year when they tried to hip it up by having James Franco and
Anne Hathaway. Yeah, it was a disaster.
It's not a hip show. It's a cornball show. Please, can we have Billy Crystal in a parade? That's what we want.
Go back to cornball.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Don't try to hip things up that aren't hip.
At the time, I thought, I'm glad that they're trying something new,
But it didn't work. So what are you going to do?
Why not have more obscure people? Why not have, you know, Zoe Deschanel host the bloody thing and sing Countrypolitan the whole time, and we can really go obscure?
I would watch her host anything, by the way.
I bet you would.
What about Eddie Murphy hosting next year's Academy Awards? How do you feel about that?
I think it's 1991 again. I'm so excited. But it's not. It's long overdue. He should have hosted it in the old days because I think he'd be superb.
You do.
I think Ellen was one of the great hosts, and I think Gary Shandling is the funniest human alive, and they can host any award show and keep it moving,
which
is the whole point. To do funny characters and wear costumes and stuff, kabarf!
Yeah.
But to actually be a witty person and keep the flow going, that's what an award show
is. Yeah, you're
about.
Right. Ellen is great at that, and I'm surprised she hasn't done more. I mean, to me, she seems
I bet they offer it to her. I can't imagine they don't offer it to her, and she probably says no, I would think.
Well, listen, they could offer it to me, and I'll shorten up my hair and wear a bad suit. I'll do it. I can go Ellen in a minute.
You can Ellen it up?
Yeah, then we'll have Joan Jett on for all the musical acts.
I have one more question I have to ask you, Greg, before we run out of time
here. Yes, Bean.
And I hope that this is not I hope that this doesn't bore you because it's something that you did a long time ago. But I was so fascinated in doing the research yesterday to see that you are a small part of George Lucas's Star Wars empire.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know. How did that happen? How are you in The Phantom Menace?
You're not angry, are you?
No, well, I just am so fascinated.
It depends on the answer.
I guess
it just seems so random that you, of all people, would be involved in the Star Wars franchise.
I know, you don't strike
me as a nerd geek. You're not Kevin Smith. How did it happen?
I know, right? I don't even read comic books, and yet I'm performing at a comic book store in 2 weeks' time. I was in Scotland performing at the Edinburgh Festival, and they came and they were looking for American voices. And me and Scott Capurro, who's the other pod race announcer, speaks Huttese. It's in the movie The Phantom Menace. I'm explaining to your fans out there.
Okay.
For the people who are so large that they live with their parents and can't ever come out of the basement and have to be lifted with a crane from their upon the moment of their demise.
Right.
These are the people who love this movie.
Okay.
And I'm not putting down the fans. I adore them. I just did the video game of. We just did another video game where I did the Podrace announcer. So we were performing in Scotland, and they brought us into London and had us audition because they needed two American voices for the Podrace.
Wait, but did they just say we need any two American voices?
Well, they wanted funny guys, so they got us, and we kind of riffed it, and we did, you know, the I don't care what galaxy you're from, that's gotta hurt and all that stuff. And I'm doing Ron Fairley, who used to be a Dodger and was the Giants announcer in the 80s. And the reason I did Ron Fairley was because he couldn't tell the difference between left-handers and right-handers, which is what made him a beautiful baseball announcer.
Oh, great.
He'd, like, Mark Grant was left-handed, Mark Davis was right-handed, and he'd go, well, here comes Grant, and you'd be like, oh, for goodness sakes. Surely you're not that loaded. It's only the third inning. Let's go.
Was this just at the end of his career? Was he getting old, or was
Fairley?
It breaking?
No, he went on to do the Mariners, I think, for years
after that. Yes, he still is a fill-in guy on the Mariners, and I met him on a plane a couple of years ago, flying back and forth, and it was a thrill to meet Ron Fairley. He's a great Dodger. I saw he was still wearing his Dodgers World Series ring.
Oh,
I got a chance to see that. It was so cool.
I love that. I love a guy that's still wearing a World Series ring from when
Wouldn't
did he win
you?
It?
Yeah, I think he was in the 60s. Yeah,
63 and 65. I think.
Bean, I would never take it off, but you don't see that.
These guys don't wear them.
Well,
so yeah, I guess.
63, I'd have it on, man.
Oh, I would too. Yeah. No, I think he's fabulous. I met Rick Monday once, ever so briefly. I'm a San Francisco Giants fan. I'm from San Francisco. And I got to meet Rick Monday at a game. And you know Rick Monday has that beautiful voice. Mm-hmm. Rick Monday goes, so you're a Giants fan. Well, go F yourself.
So did you ever get to meet George Lucas or go out to the ranch or anything fun like that?
George directed the scene we were in. And this is the best part. There was 87,000 people standing around. We were shooting in Leavesden outside of London. Giant set, big CGI screen. We're in 5 hours worth of makeup. We have giant heads on, which they CGI'd off. So George goes, have you seen the video? And I go, no, George, no one's seen the video. It's a bloody secret. So he makes me watch the video, and I don't have my glasses on because I'm wearing a giant's head.
Sure. Right.
So I have to put my face 1 inch from the screen, like Betty White, you know, at the library.
Right.
And then the next thing, he goes, we do a take, and then he goes, everybody, cut. He walks over and he goes, that was good. Do you guys feel like doing it again? And I go, okay, George. And that was it. Like, that was the sum total direction, George.
That's all you got?
Gives.
And then I could give you that direction.
Yeah. He was nice as could be, calm as a cucumber.
Wait, if you had said no, he was fine with that, too?
Well, you know, I really almost felt like saying it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just
like, George, I'm bushed. You know, I've been in makeup for 5 hours. I'm wearing a blue vinyl outfit that's showing all my man parts to the whole crew. And for your fans, if they're extra big geeks, and I don't like the word geek, but if they are extra big geeks, I have a polar fleece that says Episode 1. That will mean something if you're a Star Wars fan.
Oh, wow.
The movie was not
it
named
It means
yet.
You're in the worst movie that exists of the Star Wars trilogy.
What happened was a terrible, terrible meteor shower destroyed most of the plot of that movie.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's why the Jedi, instead of using their Jedi powers to fix their ship, enlist a 5-year-old boy in a death-defying gambling race. I think that's what the plot was.
If the comedy thing doesn't work out for you, you've got one item you know you can sell on eBay. So that's your retirement plan right there as a Phantom Menace jacket. We are out of time. Check out the Smartest Man in the World podcast. By the way, that's available on iTunes, I would imagine. People just sign up, subscribe for it there. And you can go see Greg free at the Comedy Central Space in Hollywood. That's going to be next Wednesday at 8, and then other dates up on the website as well. Greg, you're awesome, man. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Kevin and Bean.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Our old friend Dr. Drew is joining us coming up after the top of the hour.
You mean a veterinarian?
No, he's actually a medical doctor for humans, and he'll be talking to us in a minute. First, though, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I want to give away some passes to the advanced screening of Drive, new movie starring Ryan Gosling. Interesting story. Guy's a stunt driver, Hollywood stunt driver, but he also moonlights as a getaway car driver for guys who are pulling heists.
Makes sense.
Things go wrong. He gets a contract put out on him. That's not good, right?
Does he like that?
He does not like that. Mm. By the way, I noticed in the car, in the trailer, he drives at least one Mustang while he's doing the
game. Wow.
Is it orange?
No, it's not orange.
Okay, I'm just asking.
It's not as cool as mine. I didn't say it was as cool as mine. I just said he's driving a Mustang.
So you're saying yours is orange?
As you know, it's my favorite car in the world. It is orange. I've always said it's orange. You're the one who
said
it's yellow.
Ooh, I'm wrong on that.
Yes, sorry. You are.
Was it yellow?
Back to you. We'll fix that in post. If you'd like to go see Drive, and why wouldn't you, call now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First three callers to get through get a pair of passes to the advanced screening next Thursday, September the 15th, and the movies in theaters everywhere Friday, September the 16th. Just in case you don't win, but you might. Don't sell yourself short. I think you're worthy of winning. I wonder if Ryan Gosling was driving the car that hit Reese Witherspoon as she was jogging yesterday.
I hope so.
She was in Santa Monica on Wednesday morning around 11 a.m. and got hit while running through an unmarked crosswalk. Well, there you go. You can't do that. Got to cross where it's marked.
Now, what is an unmarked crosswalk, by the way? Isn't that just jaywalking? Isn't that crossing the street somewhere where you're not supposed to?
No, because not every intersection has a marked crosswalk.
Yeah, as long as it's a corner, you're allowed to cross.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know.
Okay. But you still have to defer to cars coming, though, right?
Well, they're supposed to defer to you.
And that is L.A. law. If you step into that street, they're supposed to stop for you. Pedestrians have the right of way in this state, mister. Mm-hmm. Not up there where you live, where everything's all willy-nilly up there in Washington State. You can shoot at pedestrians with a bow and arrow. That's one of the laws up there.
Communist state up there.
Yeah, communism.
That is accurate, yes.
But I think when it's marked, I think they just have the signs up and everything, give people a heads up that there's a pedestrian crosswalk there. It's a little safer, so people tend to go for that. But it doesn't really matter because the woman who hit her was 84 years old.
Oh, there could have been lines on the ground. So, that made any difference.
There could have been a big neon sign attached to Reese Witherspoon saying, jogger beware. And I don't think she would have paid any attention, just motored down. Just minor injuries, according to the Santa Monica Police Department. She was transported by ambulance to a local hospital for medical treatment. They said, I don't know if we can fix that jaw, though. And then her people said, no, it was like that when she came in. So the doctors were relieved once they got her into the hospital.
Must be weird to not be able to tell whether her face is swollen or not.
Ashton Kutcher, John Cryer, and Angus T. Jones will be the stars of 2.5 Men, of course, when it premieres this fall. And they'll be on the David Letterman Show tonight, performing for the first time in front of an audience. So presenting the top 10 list, if you want to check them out. I suggest you do.
Love it when he does those guest top 10 lists. Funny.
Did you ever see the one where he did Josh Groban? Where he said, top 10 songs Josh Groban will never sing. And they were just like all filthy lyrics. And then Josh came out and actually sang them. It was very entertaining.
That is good.
Steven Spielberg's announced his next project. It's going to be a big budget Disney blockbuster.
Does it have to do with aliens?
No, Kevin. That's ridiculous. Why would he do something about aliens? Not every movie he makes is about aliens.
All right, what's this about?
Robots!
Is that our aliens?
No. Okay. They're just robots.
Robots, all right.
Robopocalypse is the name of the book on which the story is based. So what happens when humanity's robotic population rises up and challenges its masters?
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
It's the rise of the planet of the robots.
No kidding.
I believe this is going to be animated.
Oh.
Okay.
And it's scheduled to be in theaters July the 3rd.
2013. I know, Kevin, you like to be kept abreast, so you want to circle your calendar.
Is that July 3rd?
July 3rd, 2013,
okay, so
yeah.
4th of July. All right,
exactly.
Good.
So make sure you set aside some time to catch.
Excellent.
But isn't Steven Spielberg the kind of guy who could do any movie? He could do a period drama, or he could do a war movie, or he could do a space movie, he could do an alien movie, he could do a robot movie.
Personally,
it doesn't matter.
I don't
it's always
think a
good.
Drama about a period would be very tasteful.
No, no, no.
I don't think that's
I'm
a
saying,
good idea. No one really should make that
not.
Movie. Even Steven Spielberg, I don't see he
no,
could pull that
I'm
off,
not,
really.
I'm not
what?
Saying
it. Coming to theaters near you, Tampon. By
so you
Steven
said
Spielberg.
July 3rd next year?
No, 2013.
2013?
You want to check that out. Right. Make sure you circle
I think I'm busy.
Jessica Simpson has put our minds at ease this week after tabloid rumors that she was going to get a breast reduction to look better in her wedding dress. Jessica did tweet the news this week. I love my boobies. They're not going anywhere.
That's a serious rack.
So all is well. Everyone can relax. Everyone can exhale a little bit. We'll all sleep a little better tonight.
We love your boobies as well.
Yes, we do.
Really only.
Giant size cans.
I'd see more of them, actually. And yeah, by more,
awfully,
I mean all of them.
She's been really stingy lately with the boobs, hasn't
she? She's
always
been stingy. We never really saw all of them, you know?
Yeah, that's
I
true.
I remember her being topless in Dukes of Hazzard.
Right.
Or Employee of the Year, or whatever other BS movie she makes.
Get him out.
She's
gigantic.
Gigantic. Not-
Let's all play something.
Damn it, Matt.
All right.
Now what?
You go. I'm just saying, get him out. That's all I'm saying.
Get him out.
Put him on the glass.
I'm with you.
That's what I'm
saying.
I'm
with you.
Jessica Simpson.
Don't be so stingy.
Where's your sex tape, by the way? Come on. Get hip. All the kids are doing it.
Get with
right.
it.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. He was one of the young sons on Dancing with Mr. Cooper. No.
What was the name of that song?
Home Improvement.
Okay. And that name
JTT.
Has been escaping me all day long. I can't think of the name of that sitcom. And I believe it was Hanging with Mr. Cooper, not so much Dancing right. with Mr. Cooper, which would be more entertaining, I think.
But Dancing with Mr. Cooper, that's the show that Rob Kardashian is going to be on later this month.
That
right?
is correct, yes.
Okay.
JTT is 30 years old today. Pink is 32. Lorenz Tate, until just recently of Rescue Me, which said goodbye to its audiences last night. He is 36 years old. Henry Thomas of E.T., who will soon be seen on The Mentalist. He is 40 years old. David Arquette, speaking of Dancing with Mr. Cooper, he is 40 years old today. And Amy Mann celebrates her 51st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We might get a whole thing to that info bean out of today's show alone.
How dare you?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to Sammy Sweetheart herself from Jersey Shore coming up next. And while we're talking to reality television stars, how about our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, who joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show? Hey, Doc, how are you?
Gentlemen.
Don't put him in
Look,
Sammy's
position. I love Dr. Drew. I think he's hunky. I think he's dreamy. I love him. But I'm worried about him because producer Alex tells us, Drew, and tell me this isn't true, that you are driving to somebody's house right now to spring a surprise surgery on them.
No, I'm driving to Beverly Hills to meet somebody, a young person who's having a surgery that is part of this, the Life Changer show. We're doing a lot of cool stuff. And this morning I'm on my way to get somebody a surgery. So there you go. So I'm not surprising it. I'm not going to the house. I'm not doing it on the kitchen table with a kitchen knife.
Well, no.
No, no, no.
The way it was presented to us is, you know, we just pictured you were driving to somebody's house and you were going to go, surprise! And then they're going to go, what are you doing here, Dr. Drew? And you're going to go, surgery!
I'm fixing your face!
And then you've got a team of people that come out of the van and they, like, hold this person down so they can get the anesthesia in him, and then you perform the surgery right there in their home.
I'm taking notes. This sounds good. This
yeah.
is good.
That's a show I would watch.
All right. Dr. Drew mentioned the Life Changers, which is debuting Monday, September 19th, all over this great land of ours in Southern California. It's going to be on the CW for back-to-back half hour starting at 3. But I wanted to ask, if you don't mind, Dr. Drew, about one of the guests you had on recently on the CNN Headline News Show, because I thought this was fascinating. Look, we've talked on this show before about how honked up people are over sex. People, it just drives people crazy that anybody had sex, and everything's weird, and I don't want to know about it, and you're weird. Tell me about the guy that you had on who's working in child care now. I think he's a teacher, maybe, but he got fired because they found out that he used to do legal adult gay movies with adults who were consenting of appropriate age.
Right. He was a substitute teacher, and he lost his job because he had an active website which sort of promoted his homosexual porn career. And he was working to get out of the career, allegedly, though he'd had no treatment. And so the really interesting question is, to what extent do you protect his rights, both to privacy and expression and whatnot, and his rights to as an employee, as a teacher, versus the sort of morality clause issues of anyone in a professional status who has people who are their responsibility, like teachers, physicians, even, say, police officers. What kind of conduct makes it no longer okay to be in that kind of job? And it was a little dicey because this guy was still kind of, well, he kind of says, you know, I lost my job, so I had to go back into it. It's like, well, have you had any treatment? No. And can you understand how people might be a little bit upset about this? Well, yeah. And did you violate a morality clause? Well, I'm not really sure what the morality clause is in Florida. And I think it was in Florida, if I remember right. And
of course.
It's Florida, you know, and who knows in there what the morality clause sure. says. So it was complicated. It wasn't cut and dry. It wasn't as though you could condemn the guy, and it wasn't as though you could easily say, oh, no, his rights should be protected. It wasn't that easy.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, when I heard about the story, I guess I thought that the porn career was in his past. He had put behind it. He'd gone and gotten a lot of schooling and had become a professional to deal with kids and stuff.
The answer is yes. That's sort of the way it was. Sort of. But it wasn't that clear. I mean, it wasn't like somebody who went, you know, my point was, well, what about my patients who were severe drug addicts and did horrible things? They could no longer have a professional life? Well, no, of course they can. But they have people who have treated them to vouch for them, to say, you know, this person is active in their program. Their prognosis is good. He had nothing like that.
All right, wait. Let me ask you a question, though, Dr. Drew. And I didn't see this particular episode. But why does he need treatment?
No, I'm not saying he does. I'm not saying he does necessarily. He might. I'm just saying it's a little different when you have somebody, other professionals vouching for somebody's prognosis.
Right.
As opposed to somebody who just stands up as a testimonial and goes, hey, that was a phase I was in. I was a young kid. I'm done with that. You really can't be sure, can you? And it's just interesting. I don't know the right answer in that case. I just don't know.
Well, the answer for him is he's mad if he doesn't get to keep his job. And from the school standpoint is they can't hire him. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree with you. The other interesting thing is the ACLU wouldn't take his case, which I thought was crazy.
Wow.
I mean, isn't that something? And their thing was, and you know what, they denied that he had approached them, and he had all this documentation where he had. This is actually one of the dicier parts of the story. And then secondly, they went, you know, normally we do this, but it involves children, so we can't. What? Wow. You lose your civil liberties if you're involved with kids? Wow. And by the way, behind all that, there's a very subtle implication that somehow because he was gay, he was a risk to kids, which is ridiculous. And that's the kind of nonsense that really results in horrible things. Like, if you remember just recently, there was a kid that killed another kid because of his sort of sexual orientation.
Right.
And things.
Yeah, that was the part of the story that was most upsetting for me. I thought that the porn thing had been totally in the past, and I thought that parents were freaking out because they knew this guy was gay and used to do that. It is a little different, I think, and I'm not sure, like you said, it's complicated. If he's still got a website up promoting, how would you have felt as a parent, Dr. Drew, had you been having his, you know, your kids in his class at whatever age?
Wow, you ask it. That's a tough question. Thank you, Bane. I think, you know, I'm used to having the idea of somebody having had treatment for behavioral issues. So I have somebody else. I would at least want somebody to vouch for him, whether it's another teacher's organization or other, you know, somebody, if he chose to get treatment, a physician, somebody to go, you know what, you can rest easy. This guy's not a sociopath. He's not a danger. He just made some bad choices. But to have that person just stand up and say on his own, you really don't know. You just don't know. And I understood that sort of concern. However, again, as we're saying, the layers to this just went on and on.
Yeah. Well, I don't automatically think because somebody has been in porn or even is in porn that they're any kind of an extra risk to children. That's a leap.
Bean, do you have something to tell us? Is there something coming?
Yes.
Or
no, I don't at all. It's just, I mean, seriously, if that's the choice they want to make, I don't think that has anything to do with
kids. How great would it be if Bean had done porn?
this would be a great day.
Oh, this would be the best day ever.
This is why we love Dr. Drew, though, because he brings cases like this to our attention, and you can see him every weeknight at 9 o'clock or 6, depending on your cable system or satellite, on HLN, and then the Life Changer is going to be premiering on Monday, September 19th. Now, you're not going to be involved in girly things. It's not going to be a cooking and makeover show, right, Drew? It's going to be you talking to people about things, right?
There's all kinds of – it's mostly medical. I'm even intervening on addicts, an addicted family I intervene on. In fact, it's a famous family, but they're not letting me tell you who it was yet. yet, but it's pretty cool.
All right.
But yeah, there's occasional nutrition stuff. There's an occasional, you know, Steve Ward stuff.
Do you do a makeover?
I do not do a makeover, okay. I just did a show yesterday where there was a makeover. Actually was good. I thought to myself, is this jumping the shark? Should I be doing this? But it actually turned out okay. It turned out...
You're asking yourself if you're jumping the shark before the show premieres?
Well, no, I mean, on this topic. I thought, it worked out okay. Somebody learned something. It was actually kind of cool. So
Depending on how the ratings go early on for Life Changers, it's going to be about 2 weeks and they're going to be coming to you begging you to take your shirt off to get some viewers. You know that, right, Drew?
Either that or we're going to go on and hire an investigator and find out, unearth your gay porn career.
Yes, I'd love that. If you could start that now, I'd be very happy.
Look for Dr. Drew on the TV and, of course, 5 nights a week all across this great land of ours, co-hosting with our friend Psycho Mike on Loveline. Drew, have a great time with the surprise surgery. We'll talk to you again, man.
Thanks, guys.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 943.
Wow.
You all right there, Ralph?
Wow.
I think it's time for the
didgeridoo solo in that song. I like that.
A little bit, yeah. Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on a Thursday Kevin Devine Show. Ralph Garman joins
us. This is interesting. Internet Domain Registry.
Yes.
Is letting celebrities have first crack at buying the new .xxx for websites, for domain names. You know, you can do anything now. It doesn't have to be .com anymore or .org or .net.
I've seen .me.
They're opening up. .me has been around, but they're opening up to any three-letter combination you want to use, you can.
So they want to get celebrities' first take at the XXX?
XXX, because I'm sure Angelina Jolie doesn't want AngelinaJolie.XXX out there.
Oh, I see. To protect themselves.
Right, to protect themselves from people snapping up those names and using them as porn sites for a later date.
But shouldn't they be required to then put up porn photos if they own that domain name? Like Angelina Jolie would have to use it that way?
Once again, I think you're missing the point. This is to protect celebrities from having their names used for marketing for pornography.
Bean doesn't understand that because he owns a lot of websites and he does something with every single one of them.
He slaves over those sites, developing them, nurturing, caring for them, and using those domain names as they're meant to be used.
I buy them and forget about
them. What? Sadly for you guys, I already own BeanBaxter.XXX and KevinRyder.XXX.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, you should see what's on those sites. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Would you really, though, if you were just randomly trolling the internet, would you type in MeganFox.XXX?
No.
No, but...
No.
Yeah, no.
No, you would Google Megan Fox naked. That's what you would do.
But I would guess, like, somebody who wanted to use that site would buy it and then would send out emails and all that kind of stuff and try and drum up business by...
I'm just wondering if there's a real danger of people just hitting any name, .xxx, in the hopes of finding that person, and then whatever porn site is here, they've got you locked in, and they put the pop-up ads or whatever, and then you spend your money.
Oh,
I'm wondering if it's a legitimate marketing concern, whether they think people are really going to do that.
I don't know.
I wouldn't. I mean, you would assume that there aren't Megan Fox porn sites out there, right?
Right, but there haven't been XXX. You know, you haven't had that option.
Yeah.
Come across a hot chick, you go,
I wonder.
And then at first you go, that's dumb. Then you go, Start typing.
Yeah, I wonder. Here's the thing. This political contentiousness, this house divided we live in.
I think it's going well.
This me versus you, us versus them mentality is going a little far. And even someone like myself, who probably obvious to a lot of people, I lean towards the liberal side of issues, especially when it comes to socially liberal.
What?
This has gone too far.
What has?
The new video game.
What is it?
Tea Party Zombies Must Die. It is a video game that lets you kill off conservative TV commentators.
But wait a minute. If they're zombies, shouldn't we kill them?
No, I don't think we should.
If they're zombies, Ralph.
The point of the game is to kill off right-wing Republicans with a crowbar, shotgun, or machine gun.
Oh, well, that might end bad.
Such celebrities that you can kill in the video game are Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Britt Hume, Mike Huckabee, Newt Gingrich, Sarah Palin, and Michelle Bachmann. And Glenn Beck.
I was going to say, no, Glenn Beck?
And Glenn Beck. Well, Hannity Glenn Beck is, I can Hannity, save.
yeah, that makes sense. Right. Hannity and Beck are really the only ones I would kill. I have no animosity toward the other ones.
I don't think we should kill anybody.
Really?
Let's not kill any Republicans.
But I'm not talking about in real life. I'm just saying in the game, I would enjoy killing Sean Hannity because he's an idiot.
Even just the pretend version of that. In a world we live in with the Representative Giffords and all the stuff we've kind of been through with the real violence that has been sort of politically
there are real
charged.
Crazy people out there.
Do we really need to even venture into those waters and give into our baser instincts when it comes into this?
You could really kill a lot of people in video games right now already.
Yeah, if you want to kill people, there's plenty of zombies and stuff out there.
Plenty of those games.
Let's not bring real people into that arena and give into our basest fantasies about killing them with crowbars and machine guns and shotguns.
I would drown Ann Coulter.
It's just that's what I'm talking about. See, I don't think we really need to.
No?
You might have that fantasy in your head and keep it there. Would be good in your head. But you don't need to have a video game where you can actually enact that. I think that's crossing the line, perhaps.
I see. I agree.
Because Kevin's right. There may be some unstable people out there who may take that initiative a little bit too far. They may enjoy that game a little bit too much.
So let's say no on this game.
That's all. We'll just agree as a show that we're against this game.
I think we are not going to purchase Tea Party Zombies Must Die.
Except for Beck, right?
No,
we're all in agreement on
Beck. Glenn will give him a pass.
What if
when
there's
it comes
an
to
all
this?
Glenn Beck version?
I don't believe that, even that, I can get behind.
Right.
Because I don't want anyone to really physically harm anyone.
Imagine how much he cries in that game, though. We see how much he cries in real life. Imagine he cries because he's a zombie and people are trying to kill him.
I find some of the level of debate distasteful in this country, let alone crowbars to the skull.
Yeah, that seems bad.
Just bad.
I'm with you.
And poor Evan Rachel Wood. We talked about her birthday yesterday. Seems like she was going out for a little birthday celebration the other night. And things didn't go exactly as she hoped, I'm sure. She was in Paris, France. That's a good place to be on your birthday, right?
Sure.
City
sure.
of lights.
Sure.
City of love. Home of the Eiffel Tower.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Quite the nightlife, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
She's out there shaking her groove thang on the dance floor.
As we all do.
Having a few cocktails.
Right.
Went, I guess the dance floor was packed because someone wheeled around and elbowed her in the face.
Mm. Oh.
And now she celebrates her birthday with a big fat lip and one less tooth in her head.
Knocked her tooth out. That's a direct hit.
That is bad.
Mm. How hard is that elbow swinging? Guy or girl, do you know?
It does not say here.
Whoever it is
was
really
fellow dancer
really
accidentally
dancing.
Elbowed her right in the kisser.
Did they think she was a zombie?
Yes. It's part of that new Kill Evan Rachel Wood game that they have on the video. So that made me sad.
Don't dance that hard, people.
You shouldn't have to deal with that on your birthday.
It's like an Elaine dance from Seinfeld.
Yeah, right.
Unbelievable.
And did I mention Reese Witherspoon was hit by a car?
You did.
Gleefully, you mentioned that.
Driven by an old person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
84-year-old mowed Reese down in a crosswalk. And
are you all right with that?
No, I'm not okay with that. She only suffered minor injuries, however, and was transported to a local hospital in Santa Monica after the accident yesterday around 11 a.m. And all is well. Reese will continue to make bad romantic comedies for many years to come.
All right.
I got that going for us. My wife is very pleased. Called my wife the other day watching Ghosts of Girlfriends Past.
You caught her watching?
Caught her. Like walking in a room watching your teenage son looking at porn.
You set a trap up camera?
No, it's beyond me now. It's the only thing in our marriage really I can't wrap my head around. There's nothing else she does that makes me so crazy is the fact that she will watch the same crappy romantic comedy over and over and over. She's like a kid watching Toy Story 3 or something. Just can't get enough of these bad movies over and over and over again. And I say it's bad enough. You saw it once and you knew it was bad. It's bad enough you wanted to see it. I could have told you it was bad before you even went to see it.
Does she admit it was bad?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I say, but why would you keep going back? She goes, it's just comforting because I know the story. And I said, why don't you watch a movie you haven't seen? We've got a rack of DVDs of classic films you haven't seen. Why don't you watch one of those instead of sitting your ass down and watching the same crappy movie time and time again? And anything with Sarah Jessica Parker in it, Matthew McConaughey, sure. Reese Witherspoon. There's a list of them that she watches. Anytime they're on cable, she'll watch it again. Well, it's just because it's nice and I like it. No! No, I say.
I don't think you can say no to her.
I yell, no! And the dog runs out of the room and hides in the corner. He doesn't understand. It's beyond me. I can't comprehend it.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Amy Mann is 51 years old today. David Arquette celebrates his 40th birthday. Henry Thomas Elliott from E.T. is all grown up now, 40 years old, and he's going to be on The Mentalist this coming season. That debuts soon, I think. It's like this week or something.
I hope. I can't wait. I like that show.
Well, you know, Patrick's in jail for killing Red John. Shooting an unarmed man. Spoiler alert. I guess you can really stay that after the season. No. Been over for an entire summer, right? You should be caught up by now.
Man, this is the way to do it.
Lorenz Tate from Rescue Me is 36 years old. Pink is 32. And Jonathan Taylor Thomas celebrates his 30th birthday. He, of course, was on How About Me? Popular sitcom.
Never was.
Yeah, it was. How About Me? Because the dad would come and say, hey, how about me? And they'd say, oh, Dad, you're so funny. I remember that show. It was very entertaining.
That was the catchphrase.
Hey, how about me? That's what he would say.
It was Home Improvement.
Well, he would say that when he came home from improving his home. He'd say, hey, how about me? And Jonathan Taylor Thomas would go, thumbs up, Dad.
Never heard any of that.
Yeah, it was very entertaining. He's 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showboat. What? Showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
Oh, if I walked on a showboat, that'd be so cool.
That would be much better.
Yes.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, an all-new program. Tomorrow morning we have... Look. I don't know where you are with the coverage of 9/11. Some people don't want to hear any more about it. Some people can't get enough of it. Here's our take. Channel 4 should not be allowed.
There's certain people.
Look, there's a lot of good stuff on National Geographic, yep. Everything. Yeah. Channel 4 really is just a disaster. They got Chuck Henry driving across the country asking people how
to van that's on fire.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. They're going to talk to Doug Kriegel. I mean, really, just Channel 4 should be outlawed from the topic and just let everyone else handle it.
I beg to differ. I think it's Kriegel back on my television set. I'm fully behind.
Do you want that stuff? National Geographic has had 3 weeks solid of 9/11 programming. Go there. We also have the movie beat tomorrow because it's Friday. We have a brand new internet roundup. We have Jimmy Fallon.
Sure we do.
Mm-hmm. We have LaQuisha talking about tonight's Jersey Shore. And
LaQuisha may be watching football. She may not be watching Jersey Shore tonight. She called me. She just called
me
and told me. She said she may not have time for Jersey Shore because there's football tonight.
Why didn't she call you and not us?
Well, we're friends.
Okay. And also from Curb Your Enthusiasm, we have J.B. Smoove, who is
he's the best.
Awesome. So anyway, that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.